It's okay. It's okay. He won't hurt us. He would have killed me by now. Okay? I think it's because we're not actually part of the movie. He doesn't really know what to do with us.
Welcome to Another Movie Podcast, the show that forgets to write an opening because he's too lazy. I'm Oscar. With me today is...
Ralph.
Yep. Just the first thing that popped in my head. I couldn't think of a single thing with Blade Runner. Okay. This is episode number 34. Today we'll be reviewing...
You could have just screamed replicates.
Replicants.
Replicants.
No. They don't even call them that there. That's like an old name.
Yeah, it is.
So we'll be reviewing three films as usual. Blade Runner 2049, as we've alluded to, is going to be our second review of the evening. Our first review will be The Lost City of Z, which
old
is James'
movie that came out this year, right?
Yeah, it's part of our thing where we're doing we're trying to catch up to movies we wanted to catch up to. Ralph chose that one. Last year was James Gray's latest film about the man. I forgot his name off the top of my Percy something or something Percy. The man who
with the beautiful mustache,
who like did the mapping and the discovery of the South American jungles.
Well, talk about a job that is no longer necessary.
Explorers,
yes,
yeah, they're not.
And, well, it's not even that. Like, just mapping, I guess. Yeah. Mapping, I guess, maybe you still could, maybe. But,
what, I mean...
You'd have to be, like, so good at it.
They do exist, but they would have to add, like, layers. Like, now that we've known that elevation works
sure,
this way...
Sure, exactly.
Now
yeah,
we
yeah,
remap everything.
Right.
Or something.
Right, exactly. Well, that's the thing. I mean.
And we'll conclude our show with the newest release. Just came out in theaters this weekend. The Foreigner, starring Jackie Chan and Pierce Brosnan. Two action heroes, guys.
That's right. I forget sometimes that Pierce Brosnan was an action hero.
Well, he's a British prim guy. So
right, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Immediately.
Also, he did a lot of, like, bad guy. But he's a villain. He's a villain in quite a few movies.
Yeah, he's definitely the anti-something. The anti-Jackie Chan.
Yeah. But at this one, Jackie Chan is the anti-hero.
I'm trying to think another movie where he was a bad guy, other than The World's End, I guess. That counts maybe a little bit. Right?
Yeah, he did some November Man. He's a bad guy.
Oh, I didn't see that one. But all right.
There's another movie I forget. Thomas Crown Affair, he's like an anti-hero kind of thing.
Come on, he's the guy you root for.
Oh, for sure.
So
but I mean, he's still the bad guy. Like, he's stealing
he's
shit.
Not the bad guy.
I mean, he is.
Fine, he is.
He's just not portrayed like the bad guy.
And then that's what makes him a bad guy.
What do you mean?
That's how it works. That's how movies work.
But he's stealing shit. That, in the real world, he's the bad guy. Like,
so?
Yeah. All right. Whatever.
Fine, Mr. Law. Fine, you're in Dennis O'Leary's. Dennis, what is his name?
I fucking know.
The detective in that movie.
Oh, yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, the actor.
The actor slash comedian.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Shut up. This is stupid. You can always send feedback to this stupid behavior at podmoviecast@gmail.com. Don't forget, otherpodcast.com is our website. You can find everything we have there. That would be amazing. Before we continue, as always, we continue with our first review. I mean, we always talk about what we've been watching. Rafi, you're going to start us off today. You have two films that you've seen.
Jesus Christ.
I have three, but you have two. You have Hidden Figures. You finally saw it.
I did.
What did you think?
I didn't see any figures that were hidden, so good on them.
Well, if that's good, right? Because if you saw them, that means they weren't hidden.
Exactly. Right. See?
Good Do you think them. Figures, they mean like the curve of the woman?
Yes,
there's
definitely.
Like five women in there?
Right, exactly.
That's the main star.
I would 100% agree.
That's what I thought it meant.
That's what I thought, too.
Right.
There's a porn. Not the numbers.
There's
anyway.
A porn name. That,
there's
that,
a porn,
that,
for sure.
Well,
there's no doubt about
that.
It.
Okay.
Right.
Continue.
Anyways, this is the big movie that came out 2016.
The feel-good movie that was nominated for last year's Oscar, Best Picture movies.
Best Picture, Best Actress,
two of the actors.
I think Actress and Supporting Actress, right?
I think so.
Yeah. No, Actress was snubbed. Supporting wasn't.
Right.
It was.
Okay.
Anyways, I like the movie. It was a fun watch.
Yeah. It's a crowd pleaser.
Yeah. I don't really have much more to add on to a movie that probably most people have already seen. And then I know you and Luke talked about it when it first came out or when you guys first saw it.
No, Luke talked about it first. He saw it when the movie was new.
That's right. And then
I saw it this year.
And you saw mentioned it for Oscar season, right?
I mentioned it. No, I didn't see it for Oscar season. I mentioned it.
Did I think you did?
Maybe I did, but I thought I saw it way later. But
you saw it like a week before Oscar season. Oscar maybe awards.
Anyway, yeah, but yeah, it's a fun movie. I don't remember much about it.
No, it was fun.
Other than you know,
her running to the bathroom.
Right, the bathroom scene. Kirsten Dunst being yelled at or whatever, or doing the
Kirsten
yelling.
Dunst played like the white Southern person.
And she plays another one in The Beguiled.
The Beguiled, right, exactly. Right. She played that role very well. I guess. And then other than that, I mean, it was just, I don't know, it was a feel-good movie. A lot about hope, a lot about how, you know, pushing through things. Yeah, I mean, it was cool.
Cool. And then you got another one. You got a horror movie on here. Going with the theme of the month.
I have no clue what you're talking
about. Resident Evil, man.
Is that horror?
Yeah, it's still horror. I mean, action horror, but it's still horror.
I guess so, yeah. Resident Evil, the final chapter. Let's get this right. Because there's like 300 of these, right?
It's like the sixth.
Sure.
Or seventh.
Yeah, exactly. Starring Mila Jovovich, okay? Right?
Yeah, Lulu Dallas.
Lulu Dallas Multipass, yeah. Ian Glenn, right? I am, right? Ian
sure.
Glenn?
Sure, man.
What's the guy's name? Isaac's guy.
Yeah, sure.
Right. And then, for some reason, Claire Redfield's still in here and Wesker for like 10 seconds.
A bit more than that, but yeah.
Sure, right.
So well, what do you think?
No, Wesker was like 10
compared
seconds.
To the rest of the movies, you've seen them all, right?
I've seen three.
Part three or three of them?
Three of them.
Okay, the first three only? Is that what the three?
One, two, and this one.
Oh my God. Oh, three total, not before.
Three total, yeah.
So you missed like the middle fourth. You missed how they got to this point. You missed the fall of the whole world. You missed
yeah, but
whole...
I saw the trailer, so I know what happened.
That's true. They do say it too much, yep. And the movie doesn't do nuance very
nope.
well.
This movie, I'll tell you something about this movie.
Yeah.
It is, you like, you think you're going to get bored with something? Like, ah, man, I look at my phone. We're on to the next thing already. Don't look at your phone.
Right.
That's what this movie did to me.
Pace.
It is so fast-paced. I was like, holy fuck, we're moving. Like,
yeah.
She gets like 48 hours to get there. Bam, she's down to like 22 in like 10 seconds. You're like, what?
And
just
I really like the some of the special effects in the movie.
There's some cool stuff, yeah.
They spend their money.
Yeah.
I think it's better than Transformers because it keeps that pace going. Transformers can get really boring at
times. Oh, dude, yeah. Well, yeah, that, well I haven't
on
seen
top of being
I haven't seen a Transformers movie for last I haven't seen the last two.
Good for
but
you.
I do agree with you. It does get
I lost a bet so I had to see them. I haven't seen the last
oh,
one.
Oh, did you? So yeah. Lose a bet? Yeah, no.
I lost
I
bet.
Just like this is one of the rare movies that I was like, people told me just don't like reviewers would be like, just don't watch it. Like, do yourself the favor, don't watch it.
Right.
And I was like, all right, I'll stay away. And haven't looked back. But yeah, this movie just kept coming in with punches, and I was like, that's pretty cool. I kind of liked the ending also, the whole reveal with what's called Alice. That's cool. I liked it.
I'm sure nobody cares. Can you remind me?
Sure.
Spoilers
Alice,
for Resident
Alice
Evil.
Was actually a clone.
Mm-hmm.
Made from the daughter of the girl
right.
who owned 50% of the company,
right.
who ended up...
Or 51% of the
company? No, it was 50 because they were half and half or something.
Okay.
And then, which I love it that she fires Wesker and Wesker gets killed because of that reason, because all of the automated defenses are there.
Yeah.
Which is a really cool thing also. But that's why I said Wesker's in it for like 10 seconds. Psst, whatever. And then...
yeah, he's been the bad guy for the last three movies or two movies.
I knew that. So... yeah, and then it ends with, what's it called? Her being a clone, but you're like, you're the best clone. You're better than me or whatever. And then she gets the memories of actually being a child because the
yeah, she gives her like a life.
She gives her a life, basically, yeah.
Yeah. I remember now. Yeah. And it's funny because by this point in the because I've seen them all. Right?
Yeah, well, she had abilities, right?
She had abilities. They took them away.
They
gave them back.
And
they lowered them.
Right,
and
exactly.
They took them away again.
So, yeah. So I didn't see any of those abilities, yeah. right?
Right.
Beautiful because I was like, oh, it's still the same person for me.
Yeah,
it's still
went back to square one.
All right.
Although if you watched, I forgot the name of it, the one from two movies ago, that one is a lot of fun. Like really? A lot of fun.
Might be
the best one.
I'll give it a go.
Series.
Yeah,
because they're shitty, but they're good shitty.
Sure.
Yeah.
I also like the whole thing where like the one percenters were all like cryogenically frozen.
Well, yeah, that makes
sense. That's a huge thing, though. Have you ever noticed that for like movies like End of the World, Apocalypse, or just in general? It's always like, oh, we figured out cryogenic freezing, like.
And I hope they also freeze a lot of slaves to go with the rebuilding of the world they need to do, right?
Exactly.
That's what they have to do.
Well, it's just like every movie. I felt like Alien also, like, that's a big thing where, like, oh
Covenant?
Yeah, Covenant, yeah. Where, like, we figured out, like, we don't need to, it's there, guys. Like, we haven't figured it out here in real life. But it's there, like, you just get frozen. It's okay. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I watched.
We talked a lot more about that one than I thought we would.
Yeah.
That's good, though. It's so fun. It's a fun movie. I saw three movies. One, I'll go... This one's going to go through real quick. Headshot. I finally saw that movie, the one you said you started but you didn't finish.
Oh, that's right.
It's made by the guys who did the Raid Redemption.
That's right.
And the second Raid, the Raid 2.
I got past the bus scene, that's it.
No, actually, after the bus scene...
It gets better?
It gets so much better.
Okay, see this?
Like, the action really kicks in once everybody knows, once he knows he has to save that girl.
I was really tired, too, and I was just like,
I get it. No, it does take a while for the movie to open up. It's action capillary, so to speak.
Yeah.
But after that bus scene is when it happens.
Fuck.
Like, he has this great police thing when he's arrested for that bus thing.
Right.
And then he has to fight everyone out of the police. It's just so awesome.
Oh, okay.
Like, the bad guys come in, and they should kill everyone. He has to get out. And there's, like, two more big action sequences.
Yeah.
And so, essentially, it's about this guy who used to be, not a spoiler here.
Like, the new Jackie Chan does everything, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I forgot his name. I should really look it up, but I'm an asshole.
Yeah.
Headshot is a martial arts action film. Could be pretty gory. I'm going to say it's violent action. It's not just wholesome action.
Every bullet, it's pretty violent.
Every bullet has a squib attached to it, you know?
Yeah.
But it's really cool. The guy's physical awesomeness, the main hero here, and everybody else too, also. And there's also, it's almost like video game style, like also like the
bosses
Raid
and stuff. Yeah.
There's a main boss. He has two big henchmen that he has to fight through, and they're also pretty badass.
They using that other guy also as a villain, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. The one that was crazy in the Raid 2. The first Raid.
The second one, he played the homeless guy.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And it's a really fun movie to watch in that way. But again, if you don't mind the adult action of it. And it's very basic. Like, this guy gets shot in the head. He survives. He loses his memory. He has amnesia. He doesn't know that he was this ex-gang leader killer.
Right.
And then all these forces are coming up against him. Truths are revealed about why he was shot originally. Blah, blah, blah. He has to save the nurse that helped him restore to health. Very simple stuff here, guys. Nothing complicated at all. It just add a lot of blood to it and a lot of action sequences. And it leads to, a lot of murder. And it's fun. I liked it. Headshot's pretty cool. Next up is American Made.
Oh, fuck you.
Yeah.
How was it?
I liked it. It was fun.
It's awesome.
It was hella fun. Here's the problem is that if this movie had come out the year before Narcos came out, Narcos, a famous show on Netflix, which is in its season 3 right now.
Yeah. Which I think finally moved away from Pablo Escobar, right?
I think so, but I've only seen the first season. After that, I was like, I'm tired of it.
Well, I heard the second season really good, actually.
I heard that, too.
Yeah. But apparently, the third season is like literally what happens after Pablo Escobar stuff.
Yeah.
And it goes into
the next thing. I saw the poster of it, and I'm like, I don't recognize any of these actors.
Right. No, that's what's so cool.
It must have really shifted
around. I want to go watch it.
Right, but I hear they're in the same vein. Like, they're showing you an angle of this whole thing that you feel like you already know
a lot
of.
You know what the problem was also? Not only that, but for us, we're Hispanic, and Spanish soap operas or Spanish... So much things about Narcos. Like, there's like 300 shows about Narcos.
Yeah, there is.
It's not even just like, they had Narcos from Netflix on like Telemundo in Spanish for people to watch. They did that for the first season.
Yeah.
Because they were like, hey, get Netflix after that. And then they have like knockoff versions of that. And they're still on. Yeah. So for me, it feels like it's never ending.
Like the Chapo guy.
Yeah, exactly. Show, right? Yeah. So continue. You were saying?
That being said, at first, I didn't know what to think about Tom Cruise doing a clearly non-action movie. You think it is action, it's not. It's more like historical adventure. Like, it happened back then, and it's adventurous.
Yeah.
The movie's about, like,
biopic,
him.
Right?
He's just a pilot. He's not a fighter at all. He doesn't do any action sequence. But he does every flying. Like, you could tell that the camera, that Doug Liman, who directed him in Live, Die, Repeat, they both did the same movie.
Oh, okay.
He wanted to show off Tom Cruise, the fact that he can actually fly as Tom Cruise, so he doesn't have to fake any shots. So I'm positive every time you see him on a plane, he's really flying it.
Oh, no
shit. Because Tom Cruise is like that. That's how he rolls, right?
Right.
That's exactly
how he does it. That's
pretty cool. There's a famous helicopter scene in Live, Die, Repeat where he's so happy he gets to fly a helicopter or something to crash it or something. So, yeah, he does his own shit. So in that regard, Tom Cruise is pretty very charismatic as usual. He makes this whole endeavor enterprise of stealing from this gang leader to give it to the like he's not it's not just drugs, it's also guns, also people.
Oh, it's everything.
He's contracted by CIA. At some point he's working for the DEA, and there's a lot of funny things that happen from that are pretty obvious. And it's amazing what he gets away with, how much money he has, a lot of jokes about the money he has. And the funny thing is that unlike Goodfellas, you know, where it has the downfall of people, this one has a downfall too.
Yeah.
Like, there's always the high of the criminal shit and the low. This one has that, but you never know why he's doing it. He's just doing it because he likes to do it. He doesn't really care about the money. All the money he does uses it for is to give it to his wife. Like, he gives all his money to his wife. He buys her the new car. He doesn't buy him a new car. He doesn't buy himself a new plane even. He just wants to do it, and he just happens to have all his money that he has to bury in the garden. because he has so much of it.
Right.
And there's some scenes that didn't really work, and some pacing that felt strange. And this movie's not going to make my top 10 or anything, but it was fun to watch. I wish I had more time to discuss it because there are
slipped right by me.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been busy at work, I know, but like, I kind of wanted to watch this movie, and I don't know. I would have picked it to review it.
I think you'd like it.
I would have picked it to review it, no lie.
I'm surprised you didn't, because I'm like, why did we miss it? Why did we not talk about this movie?
Why did we not talk about this movie?
Yeah, I was like,
that's a weird one. Yeah.
That's all right. And then the last movie here is a Netflix original, Gerald's Game. Have you heard of it?
What the fuck is that about? No.
Gerald's Game. It's that's a really good one.
Geraldo's Game?
Geraldo, right. Yeah. That's exactly what he's called.
In Spanish, it is.
Right? No, that would be awful or funny. Gerald's Game is part of this Stephen King
El
Renaissance.
Juego de Geraldo.
Uh-huh. It's another one of his adaptations. Like, this is the fourth movie of this year alone that Stephen King has an adaptation from his shit. Like, It. Yeah. Like The Dark Tower and so on. There's like another one coming out later this year.
Are you kidding me?
It's a bunch of yeah.
Does he like does when he needs money? Does he just have like his
know.
Company?
I think people
or
just
somebody.
Love adapting his shit. I think it's well, I mean, very. I the think, Mist, the show came out this year, right?
There's a show about that.
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Quick thing about the Mist.
Yeah.
Our cousin was telling me that, have you seen The Mist? It's a really good movie. Hey, both our cousins, Josue and Sebastian, and they were telling him, like, yeah, this is a really good movie. This is that. They were explaining to him. I was like, yeah, no, it is a really good movie. I agree. And I hate that what's it called? The church lady, whatever.
Right.
Right? And he's like, dude, I see my mom bait that person.
Right?
And I was like, that's scary, man. I go, I hated her for the person she is in the movie, but it's good acting because I hated her.
And you're supposed to hate her.
Right. And he's like, dude, that was a bogus ending. I was like, I totally 100% agree with you. But he was like, yeah, I really love it because we were talking about It. And then he talked about watching The Mist.
Stephen King is a subgenre of movies.
It really is.
It's a whole movie. There's just too many of them now. So Gerald's Game, again, it's on Netflix. Everyone can watch it there. Not for free, I know, but seemingly for free.
Seemingly. For everybody in this household, it's for free except for me.
Yeah. I know, right? While trying to spice up their marriage in their remote lake house, Jessie must fight to survive when her husband dies unexpectedly, leaving her handcuffed to the bed frame. That's the movie.
Oh, my wife just told me this whole movie.
Yes.
She didn't tell me the name of it.
Oh, it stars Carla Gugino, which is amazing. It must be her best performance, by the way. And Bruce Greenwood. Again, two actors, if you see them, you'll be like, yes, I've seen
her. No. I know who she
3,000 things. Bruce Greenwood is this guy here. That guy.
Oh!
Yeah, he's in everything. He was in Flight. He was
in
the President
in
that movie.
He's in literally everything, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He's in what's it called? Book of Treasures. He plays the President.
Yeah, he plays the president in a bunch of things.
Yeah.
And it was directed by the guy who did Hush.
Ooh, good movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, okay.
So that's...
It sounded interesting. Interesting what she told me.
Yeah.
But go ahead. Give me your thing.
So,
no lie. She just told me the car ride home.
She told you today in the car
today,
ride home?
Today. Like, not an hour ago.
That's funny. It's amazing. First of all, the horror in it, what's in there, I didn't think it could, like, I was like, how are they going to do this?
Yeah.
It's one lady trapped. And then, so the thing is that the main plot is that he has a heart attack while they're playing kinky sex or something. She gets handcuffed to the bed, really fully handcuffed. And he gets a heart attack, dies, as he's laying there bleeding from the fall that she actually causes, but because she didn't know at the time. They left the front door open. There's this dog that comes in. And throughout its hunger, starts eating the husband as she's fucking there, paralyzed or not able to get out.
Right.
And she is talking to versions of herself while she's starving and dying of thirst. And she starts hallucinating and stuff like that. So the movie gets into all that stuff. And it's really, really, really good. And I don't want to tell you how it looks, because there is a supernatural element to it, as all Stephen King stuff does.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't just point shoot. There is a supernatural element involving the Moonlight Man, which you'll find out when you see it, and it's very creepy and very cool. And I really like the ending, unlike most people. A lot of people got, you know, kind of like weird about the ending, like how it was too satisfying to a lot of people. But I thought it was really good. So I recommend it. Gerald, can watch it. Yeah.
I'll watch it.
So good.
Okay.
I wanted to choose this for a review myself. I almost did.
Well, we should have.
Yeah. Well, I might still. I don't know yet.
Okay.
So, those are the movies we've been watching.
Yeah.
I've been and you have been. Now we're going to take a break. We're going to show you the first review. Let's do that.
Well, yeah, we're going to show you
a review. We're going to show you a review, uh-huh. Right. Sorry, my first day, clearly, is not my 34th episode at all.
Nope.
Plus 200 others.
Exactly, yeah. Nope.
All right, so After this clip, when we come back, we'll still be reviewing our first movie of the evening, The Lost City of Z. Stay with us.
To dream, to seek the unknown, to look for what is beautiful is its own reward. A man's reach should exceed his grasp, or what's a heaven for?
You are the explorer? Give me a hand.
I wish to find a lost city.
What you seek is far greater than you ever imagined. It is your destiny.
I'll not know you when you return.
I know this is a sacrifice for all of us.
The environment's brutally difficult. The journey may well mean your life, but you could reclaim your family name.
Ain't nobody comes back from up there.
But we have never let fear determine our future.
The Lost City of Z tells the incredible true story of British explorer Percy Fawcett, who journeys into the Amazon at the dawn of the 20th century and discovers evidence of a previously unknown advanced civilization. And that's the movie.
Lost City of Z. Or Z.
Z.
Do you ever look at the letter Z the same way again?
No. I mean, do I look at it the same way, like as in Z? Oh,
do you see it as Z now?
No. Still see it as Z.
I mean,
I think of Zed, and I think of Zed from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Of course you do. I always think of
Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. We all have a Zed.
Whose motorcycle is this? It's a chopper, baby.
Whose chopper is this?
Zed. Who's Zed? Zed, Zed.
This movie stars four pretty top people, pretty famous, really well acted. Charlie Hunnam, of course.
Wait, that wasn't Percy Fawcett? Could have fooled me.
Right. Have you seen the original OG picture of him?
Yeah, I have, though. It could have fooled me, yeah.
Right. Way different.
Way different.
Robin Pattinson, Sienna Miller, Tom Holland is in this movie.
That's right. Tom Holland.
Yeah.
That
Angus random. McFadden, I want to definitely say.
Yes.
Ian McDiarmid, Edward Ashley. The rest are pretty much just get lower.
Right. That. I actually liked Pattinson's role in this. I like his character.
Ever since, I swear to God, ever since the whole Twilight thing,
yeah,
he has done pretty good movies.
Yeah, he's done I wouldn't say 180, because obviously that...
It's a 180 from his expectations
for sure, yes.
Yes.
I would 100% agree there.
Like, clearly he always, he probably has always done whatever he was demanded to do.
Yeah.
Except that we just saw those movies pretty schlocky and bad, and I never saw them.
I saw the first one.
I saw all but the last one.
Okay.
Girlfriends, you know, so...
I told my wife to go to the theater on her own.
Well, this is where we had dates. You're married. It makes sense.
I wasn't married then, but sure, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But you were established.
I get what you're saying.
Established
for sure.
Yes. People on dates and shit. So, all but the last one, which I hear the last one has a really cool scene in it.
Okay.
Like the best scene of all the movies.
Right. Well, yeah. Let it hit HBO, or I'm sure it's still on HBO.
I'm sure it's somewhere by now.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to watch it. He made his bones there. And then ever since then, he's done strange movies like Cosmopolis, like The Water for Elephants, which is the movie he did, I think, after the Twilight series.
Oh, this movie was directed by James Gray, by the way.
Written, also. Adapted from the autobiography, I want to say?
Yeah, something like that.
By the book written by David Graham.
This is the guy who did We Own the Night, which I think is the only other movie I've seen of his.
Oh, that's sad. You should see his other movies.
You tell me all the time about... The Immigrant.
Right, only because that's the last one I saw of his. Two Lovers is really, really good.
Yeah, I never saw
it. Really, really
yeah,
good.
I've only seen We on the Night. And I really like We on the Night.
Yeah, I liked it too, although that's my least favorite of this bunch.
Of course it is.
I've seen The Yards, but I don't remember that movie at all because I saw it when it came out and I liked because
so
of...
So wouldn't that be your least favorite?
Joaquin Phoenix, but I don't remember anything about it, so it doesn't count.
So it's like you never saw it?
It's like an incomplete, not like a pass or fail. It's like an incomplete.
That's still like a fail to me.
Why are you being such a dick? That's my question. Yeah. So, James Gray is also known. He's known a lot for making basically one of the most expensive string of indie movies, because he doesn't make movies by the Hollywood system. He doesn't make movies for somebody else. He makes movies that he wants to make. All his movies are his own. all of them. Like, if you notice, he doesn't have to. I'm sure he's made other things, projects to make money, but like, that's the whole point. He raises the money he needs and he makes the movie he wants to make, and that's right.
Yeah, he only has 10 credited directors.
So. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
One's a short
Joaquin
film.
Joaquin Phoenix and him are best buddies. They did the first 10 movies together. He probably made Phoenix as a star. He's a guy who probably started him up.
Oh, okay.
You know, every major actor started from somewhere.
I thought you said Phoenix made this guy a star, and I was
both
like,
ways probably, but probably no, James Gray made him a star.
Sure, sure, yeah, understood,
for
understood.
Sure. Like, nobody knew who he was until Two Lovers came out. For example. So, all that in mind, I'm a big fan of his. You're a fan of his, based on the other movie.
Based on the one other movie, yes.
I will say, based on his other movies, this is a wild departure, even in subject matter, a complete departure from what I've seen him do mainly.
Yeah,
this,
I didn't know what I was going to walk into.
Oh, really? You just knew it was about the jungle?
My wife walked in the room, and she's like, are you watching Pride and Prejudice and Zombies? And I was like,
what?
Because it was on TV recently, and I was going to watch it. And she saw, like, all the old, you know,
the
attire
outfits.
And stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she was like, is this that Pride and Prejudice movie? I was like, no, it's not. It's actual, you know, real stuff. And she was like, oh, okay.
Real stuff. Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. All right.
So, I guess I'll start off.
Yeah, what did you think?
What did I think? I thought this was a very grand adventure. I don't know what this movie... there's a couple... There's phases of this movie, so... And you can like different phases of the movie. I like the transition. I like one of the transitions, and I didn't like the other transition. I guess for me, the two big transitions in the movie. Overall, the movie, I like it. I'm not going to hate it. I don't hate it. I like the adventure of it. I like what he's trying to accomplish, not just by unsullying his name, which, like, complete utter dick move in the beginning of the movie, where he's like, oh, but his father or his ancestors, this. Like,
no, the exact line.
No, he chose poor ancestors.
Right. He has the misfortune of choosing the poor ancestors or the wrong ancestors.
Yeah. And, oh, yeah, my wife was there, and she's like, who the fuck chooses their ancestors? Right, right, exactly.
That's how it works.
That's exactly what my wife said. And
that's why that whole system failed.
Exactly. So, there's that.
That's why everyone will die in Game of Thrones.
Right. There's that one thing. This movie, everything grows. Everyone grows in this movie, and it's shown, mm-hmm. And if you didn't get it, it's told. Right. What's it called? So. In case if you were like, oh, dory, dory, dory. So I like the growth, where it comes from, for Charlie Hunnam's character, or the Percy Fawcett. I think where it ends, that last shift we talked about earlier, is the very last transition where we see his son trying to help him with this adventure. And that's, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Other than that, I mean, yeah, that's...
I thought you were going to say that one thing. I'm like, wait, spoilers.
No, I wasn't going to say it.
I thought you were.
No, other than that, I mean, I had fun watching the movie. I thought it was a cool thing. I always felt like, I always felt something imminent could happen at all times. And it wasn't, it could have been anything, though. And at first, it changes, like, through the movie, which I think I like, so I like the movie. It changes. It's not, at first, I feel it's like it's danger. Then it's just like love and danger, and then like you don't know where it is. So it's interesting.
I came away when I first saw it in theaters. I saw this, and I didn't know what to expect except that I know I love James Gray, so I'm pretty sure I'll love it. So I came in there with high expectations, I guess, of something I didn't know. I never saw a trailer either. Maybe I seen one, but I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure those trailers were pretty vague anyway.
And the only thing that really would have stopped me from watching it, not that it did, is Charlie Hunnam. Just because I don't think it can carry... Before this movie, I did not think it could carry a movie of this magnitude upon his shoulders. But I'm going to say right now, he pulled it off. Not only is this his best movie, it's that like mustache. Three leagues apart from his second best movie.
Yeah, that mustache, though.
Well, that's just the style, right?
Yeah.
No, but he really kills it.
He does, yeah.
He kills it.
He does a really good job.
Whatever his best moments in that show, Sons of Anarchy,
how fast he
times
can punch.
10 in this movie. Like, what?
I say he didn't have to show how fast he can punch.
Right. There's no violence from him on his end.
There is no violence.
Right, you're thinking of it like, no.
No, there is one part, but yeah.
Maybe, but like... Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's a violent act.
I guess that's what he pulled off his Pacific Rim role for that.
Sure.
That slap.
Yeah. Anyways.
he kills it, and I didn't know what to expect. And the movie does shift a lot. And the movie, it's like it gets longer in a good way. I mean, like when you think it's gonna end, it doesn't.
It doesn't end. Yeah.
In three or four different times. And this, I'm not talking about like 5 minutes before the ending of the movie.
No.
I'm talking about arcs. There are arcs that you didn't know. Like parts of arcs. There's all right. Acts.
Well, I mean, that's the interesting thing about this movie. It's like you're watching. You're like, there's no way it's gonna end here. And you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Yeah. And then you get it. You're like, okay, well, that's pretty interesting. And it doesn't end. You're like, oh, shit. Like,
yeah. Well, it's definitely hard to pinpoint, like, when is a good time to say spoilers for real life or not spoilers for real life. It's safe to say that the majority of the population does not know the actual happenings of this faucet guy.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say, spoiler alert for this little particular thing, is that this movie does tell the story in a lot of years. It does tell it in many times. Like, you think the movie, this is a great power of this movie, is that the first time he goes out into the jungle, he goes in there for selfish reasons, prideful reasons. He doesn't want to go in the jungle. Those are the reasons. He has to go there to do something, for his furtherment of career and for a better name, therefore a better life.
Yes.
That's what he's doing it
Huge
for.
Things, yeah.
When he's there, in all those scenes that he's doing it, you know, from the ominousness of the river
right.
to the people there and to the niceties to the heat, it feels like the whole movie is going to take place in this ride.
It really does.
And then when it doesn't, and then it carries on, and he comes back again, you know, it adds to it. Like every time he goes back again, you think it's the last time. Or every time he doesn't go, like, or he goes away, you think it's the last time. There's a part where he gets called in for World War I, this is when it's happening, and he's a captain or something, he's high enough where he's not exactly a soldier, a grunt, I mean, but he is in command, and he has to be in the trenches. And you're thinking, like, oh my God, this movie's going to be about the bitter disappointment of being able to find this lost city, and he's going to die out here
die out here, yeah.
And, you know, and it goes in a way you don't expect.
Right, exactly.
I'll say that much. And the point is that all this happens, and it's hard to say, spoilers for real life, but, you know, all these things happen. And the movie does such a good job of keeping you in the moment. And that's a strange power I didn't know James Gray had. And I want to see if I watch those past movies of his, if they've always been there, and I've just noticed it in this movie, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I really like that a lot.
There's an interesting thing to learn from Percy Fawcett, and
he's so woke.
It's look at you being hip. Hip to be squared. Anyways, you never know what a man can accomplish. There is no limit to what a man can accomplish. It's whatever his limit is. It's whatever that person puts his own boundaries and puts his own limits to himself. Because, as you said, this movie could have finished at any point in time. You think it's going to be done. Most people would have finished, would have stopped
at
different things.
Oh, yeah.
But and this the character and... of the real life man, because it's obviously based on his life, is the reason why we get this longer movie, because of everything that happened. I thought it was pretty cool.
It is very cool, and you know, this movie was compared a lot to, here it is. This is a title I couldn't think of earlier. It's compared a lot to Aguirre, The Wrath of God, and probably the other one, the really more popular one, Fitzcarraldo. They both have different plots overall, but they both involve jungle. It's a Werner Herzog movie, by the way.
Oh, of course.
And the nature of man versus nature. The whole thing, obviously, much more serious. And he tends to show the obsession, because these movies have in common is that they're obsessed.
They are.
I won't say that The Lost City of the Sea is about obsession. It has a lot more going for it. Those movies are mainly about obsession, those other movies.
There is obsession in this.
And they show them very differently, but I love the way how his, in this movie, in The Lost City of the Sea, not only is it very beautiful to watch, we didn't explain that, but... beautifully shot. They went down there and shot it down there.
It actually
in South America.
Kind of like
it pays off.
Makes you not want to be in England or in London, whenever they are.
Right, whenever they go back, like it's all
so
like
bland.
But even that looks beautiful. But
it
still,
does,
compared to to just even the muddy, crappy huts that we're not used to,
right.
They still look better and preferable.
Exactly.
Maybe that's part of it too. You know, the way that the camera lends to it, like the camera wants to be happy in the jungle.
Well, actually,
and the camera isn't happy.
There
in
is
England.
An interesting thing.
It's probably on purpose.
The third act of the movie, when he's home, the second and third act when he comes home,
yeah,
it looks very like like pleasant, and he wants to be there, like, you know, stuff like that.
That's true. It does. I mean, it's all up on him. Act, I think
it looks just like it. Also, wooded area, right? And it looks very, very much like that in comparison to like the first. All the beginning did kind of look like that, but at the same time, after that, it just looks very bleakish everywhere they are.
Yeah, or bland, maybe.
Or bland, just bland.
Or blander, maybe.
Yeah, in comparison to the jungle.
Right. Yeah, it's either something that James Gray wants us to know, or he's focusing on Fawcett's experiences to reflect the movie. Like, that's the way he's doing it.
Right.
That's a director right there. I didn't notice until right now. What was I saying before? Right. So I think I think there's so many things to explore, and I want to talk about obsession, because that's the first one kind of pops. This man, obviously, this is a fictionalized version of the original. The original man was more classic. He was classic anti-women. He was classic racism. He was classic classism. You know.
Yeah, it was those times.
It's those times, right? This guy is not.
They don't know anything else.
This guy is brought up to be someone that people today in 2017 can enjoy and fall for or sympathize with. And I think that while you could make a movie about a person, about those times, and still be sympathetic of that person.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is something larger that James Gray is trying to say or succeeding in saying by making changing so many things about the personality of Percy Fawcett. But I think one of them we should talk about is obsession. What do you think about the way this movie is showing it, and what do you think of Fawcett's obsession, bad or ill? I mean, do you think it's a good thing? Is it healthy, unhealthy? How did you feel as you were
seeing it? Well, I mean, it's weird. It's unhealthy for the fact that he's completely neglecting his family, right?
Yeah, for years at that time.
And
it takes so long to get there, and then so long
to
explore
and
then
get back. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, he's like, we're going to spend 2 years.
And all of it, they're like, you could die any minute.
Right, exactly. So there's that bonkerness to it. But at the same time, I find it, not refreshing, but like almost needed, his obsession, because without his obsession, we don't get the discoveries that he does. Without the obsession, we don't push to get to where we get this movie. So it's almost like a needed obsession. It's like somebody needed to be obsessed. If it wasn't him, it was going to be somebody else.
Oh, okay. So you think somebody else would have taken that mantle?
I think eventually, maybe they wouldn't have succeeded like he did.
Funny. The way he composed himself throughout all this obsession stuff, it's like. It's more like, maybe you're right. Maybe he did think that somebody else would take that mantle, but he thinks that somebody worse would take it. You know, somebody who won't care about the relics, won't care
about
the people.
That's exactly what it was. That's right. The only reason he brings it up again.
Who would go because in there with a even, with a bulldozer even, rather
even,
than
exactly,
a delegate.
Even in the society
right.
where he brings up that he, this is the early movie stuff, was after his first trip,
mm-hmm.
and he says that there could be civilization, which I mentioned in the intro.
Yeah, the England British people have this strange like court thing when they speak their arguments and everyone's yelling and booing back. It's
right,
like,
exactly.
You know, worse stuff here in that regard.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway. But no, when he tells them and he's like, they were like, you should watch your tongue. Who do they say? What you say to people,
mm-hmm.
especially like your findings, right? Because only the British are civilized, right? Nobody else is, or the white man, anyways.
Right. Yeah.
And. And he speaks up, and then he rallies to go again, right? So yeah, that's a key like moment of not only does he have to be obsessed with going, right? He has to be the one, because he knows that there won't be that care, there won't be that person who's going to go and actually do the work that needs to get done, instead of, you know.
I agree. I also think that that his obsession matures.
Yeah.
Not only does he maybe doesn't, because as a person he still has the same values, right? But his obsession matures in the way he is acting upon it by the end of the movie. And I'll explain more on that exactly when we talk about it in spoilers. But let's talk about the family. I mean, Sienna Miller... Unfortunately, she is a great actress, but she's been kind of like typecast to be the dutiful wife in movies. And this one, she is that, although it looks to be like the best version of that, like the most swallowable, the most three-dimensional, personality-driven version of it. But she's still kind of that person. Yeah. What do you think of her role in this movie?
I mean, I hate to say it. It's just like, right. I mean, she's in the back burner. Like she's. Yeah. Total secondary.
She's raising the kids.
Right, exactly. She's almost there just for us to know that we should feel sorry for her, that she's raising a family on her own.
Well, what's wonderful also is that you can make a very similar movie about different values if you just focus on her.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing. You could just do the same thing and see what how it feels when he's coming home finally. Like, what's she doing over the years? Right. What is she warding off? What is her adventure?
Right, exactly.
Besides growing the kids, or raising the kids, I mean. First of all, Sienna Miller kills it. And I think she has some really good scenes, like really good standalone scenes, and some with Charlie Hunnam where she takes over the scene. Like the scene that everyone remembers the most is when they have an argument, when she wants to go with them on the second trip.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's been talking, you know, like I said, woke. He's been talking about Charlie Hunnam, Fawcett. He's been talking about how we shouldn't be classes about these people. We should be careful. These are their land. We're not the only civilized people. We need to grow as a civilization. We need to grow as a country. We need to not see these. We need to see every fellow man as a fellow man, not like just because they're not British, we shouldn't.
Right.
You know, all this stuff that no one thought back then, right. Or not very many.
Sure.
And he's saying all this stuff, and it's great stuff we're hearing. But at the end of the day, he's still,
yeah,
and not anti-woman, because that's what we call today. He has his own reasons that are perfectly legitimate, at least for the time.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he gives it. But the point is that he won't let his wife go because she's a woman, and that's not a cool thing.
Well, yeah, and one of the big things is like the fact that it's like, well, if me as a fit man, right, can barely make it.
Right, the endurance of
it. Like the endurance of it, right? And men and women have that key difference where we are fitter.
Yeah. What's funny is I'm sure that this argument has been argued to every couple,
yeah,
except with different kinds of language. Oh, sure. They're very prim and proper, but she's saying, like, I dealt through childbirth. Right, I'm sure exactly. Every woman has said that, like, sure, I had to carry your child.
Right. I'm not saying they can't take pain. I can't pick up that car anything.
Or whatever.
It's not about that. It's just like...
Right, but she says it like that.
Yeah. Oh, there's a difference, right?
Totally.
So...
Is there... And then there isn't. Like, it's obviously, you know, obviously after this movie, 50 years, whenever the first female explorers started really coming out and started doing, you know, more wild experimentations with jungles and animals, you know, they've proven their point for sure.
Right, exactly.
And now we're all cool. But it took this long, and I wish... You know, I don't wish the movie made her all this perfect about him, but like it was a very interesting dynamic, and then how she can still love him and make her peace with her own like shared obsession about what her husband's doing and about the value of discovering this place. It's almost like I said before, the obsession is maturing. It's like attaching itself to her, but it's because of love, and the way she's handling it is more mature. It's just a very lovely way to see it, and I can't really articulate why.
Mm-hmm.
But anything else you want to talk about before we get into more spoilers?
No, and I think we're going to touch into it.
All right, let's get into spoilers for The Lost City of Z, starting now.
You said so yourself. With everything that's happened in Europe, it's not possible to choose a safe passage through life. So many men near my own age did not return from the war. And who is to say it will not happen again? It could, Mother. It could happen again.
By all accounts, I should be furious because you've just used my very own words against me. And how can I refute them? They are my own.
Joan's been so annoying. Bloody slap me.
Oh, wait, Joan, don't slap him. Thank you. Off. Go on.
She's hitting me on the face.
Brian, I'm in the middle of a conversation. Go and help your sister. Get some wood, please, from the log pile now.
No!
Fight your own battles.
There is little doubt that I would worry night and day about my boys in the jungle. But we have never let fear determine our future. That's all.
Spider-Man's mustache, though.
I was about to say, who dies, Rob? Well, technically, two die. Spider-Man, what do you think of this dude? I mean,
I didn't expect him to be in this movie.
Did you recognize him instantly?
No.
His voice threw me off at first.
Yes.
And when I saw the movie in theaters, I didn't know who he was. You thought he was like, oh, he's a good actor. Right. And Spider-Man came out that June, a few months later.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I still didn't click him. Yeah. Until someone told me, like, oh, he's been in two movies this year. I'm like, which one? Last year was he? I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, no. I saw this, obviously, after Spider-Man. But yeah, when I saw it, I was like, is that Spider-Man? And I was like, oh, shit, it is. Damn, that's an accent.
That's probably his OG accent.
Yeah.
Right. Or maybe not. I have no idea. I don't know where the kid's from.
Yeah, neither do I.
But a lot of Brits are taking our acting jobs. Yeah. I'll tell you that right now. Half the Walking Dead cast.
That's nothing new, by the way.
No, I know that. But I'm saying. I'm noticing it more.
I guess. Yeah. That's what it is. I don't. I like them. I like them overall.
What about his character? A lot of people have a problem with.
I have the problem where it's.
You're not the first. Told me other people.
Sure, it's that third shift, that third act shift, right? Where his son hates him in the second.
Is this when he returns from the second time?
Yeah, second time. Right, okay. He comes back and then, what's it called? He comes back and they failed, right? Because they lost supplies and he was so close and whatever, right? And because that idiot guy poisoned the food, right, or whatever he said. Remember?
Oh my God, I really hated that guy.
Right. Well, everybody did. Thank God he died in Antarctica. Anyways, because he went back to Antarctica.
I mean, the guy. It was so infuriating.
Yeah.
I mean, Percy Fawcett, just in the character depicted in this movie, has way more patience than a kindergarten teacher of 50 years. With the way he treated this guy.
Yeah, for sure.
He didn't mistreat him. Yeah. He really should have.
He really should have.
I would have left them dead there.
Oh, yeah.
I would have said to these guys, you guys are cannibals, right? We have a big fat pork pig here. Yeah, okay.
It's a gift, but only one time.
Just one time. Infinite passage, though.
Infinite passage. Right. Infinite, right. So, indeed.
Yeah. Season pass to the jungle.
Season pass to the jungle. Anyways. So that shift, he comes back and he starts talking back to Smack to his dad.
Well, the reason that they argue is because he has to go to World War One.
He has to go to World War One, exactly, right? And he's like, you left us already, and now you have to go to war, right? And he's like, dude, it's not like he chose to go to war. It's like he has to go to war. It's what is he gonna do? Run away? Like what the fuck, right? He has to. Like it's just plain and simple. Like if his son was of age, his son would be in fucking war right next to him. Like plain and simple. Like, it's just that he wasn't.
Even then, some of those people were getting 15-year-olds in there.
Right, exactly. So now that's what he slaps on. By the way, violence in the movie. What's it called?
Wow. You're reaching on that one.
No, I know. But no, so like that's there's the disconnect because he doesn't know his kid anymore. He doesn't know his son.
I mean, probably never.
Well, he knew
two letters that he's still burning.
No, right, exactly. No, knew him. He knew him when he was like four, you know, four or five or whatever, when he was still a kid in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
So he knew him then, and he's like, "That's my boy. Like, that's I love him with everything, right?"
Yeah.
And but it's not. It's not anymore. He lost him a long time ago because he doesn't know. He's never been there. Right. So. The son obviously hates his dad for not being there. He thinks that, you know, well, I'm doing this for you guys on top of me, but it's helping you guys, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you get it. You see it both ways, right? And then the third act shifts where like, I'll help you with everything, Dad. Like, I'm your best friend now. Like, I was like, the fuck you?
Well, part of this
like,
way.
And I get he grew. He got older and maybe... He got more interested in whatever his dad was doing, and he saw something more into it. It was just like, but his father stopped pursuing it. Like, he'd given up already. Not given up, but he was like, I'm going to learn to live with my family.
Well, there's a few things going on here. Yeah. One is that I think just like the movie expects you to fill in the gaps of him not being with his family from like, you know, you're like, okay, it makes sense why the kid's rebelling. But also, there's not an exact same amount of time, but I think maybe close. It's been also a few years between him to war and coming back, and it's been still a few years of him being a family man. So it makes sense that by then,
well, to my understanding,
he's become famous explorer.
Yeah, no. To my understanding, it was like a year, not even after the accident.
Well, he looked significantly older.
No, I agree there. Right. He did, but at the same time, from my understanding, the way they made it sound, it wasn't even that much longer.
Oh, I guess I mistook that.
That's from my understanding.
Right, right.
But now everything they did.
Maybe there's a line of dialogue that I missed, but I thought that was longer.
Everything they did to get to the next trip was like 2 years planning or some stupid shit like that.
Well, it almost feels like, do you feel like fate? Like he missed out on fate. Do you think this movie has that?
Who missed out on fate?
Fawcett. Because he has that fortune teller tell him something very ominously. Very precisely, and
totally
some
forgot
of it.
About that scene, but yeah.
In World War One, obviously they're all blowing off steam and they're doing whatever they can to stop thinking about the war. Very common. I read a lot of stuff on how they would make fun of people's deaths that they died because what else are they going to do? They're not going to come across death as they're fighting.
Right.
So They did a lot, so this makes sense. And she has a—it's a very strange scene, strangest Jane Grey scene ever.
Very,
and because it looks so weird, I mean, and gray in the middle of this.
If you needed to edit this movie again and take something out, it's probably that scene. But
well, no, that's what I'm saying. It adds the idea of fate and destiny to it. Because do you think he turned away from fate and destiny because he should have gone after the war back to the jungle instead of waited too long?
Wait, he should have gone after the war?
Because after the war, he got injured. He got injured in the war.
Yeah.
And then managed to recover, professed his mistakes to his family, rightfully so, and decided to become a family man. X amount of years passed. Let's say it's not even a year, but X amount of time passed. And once him and his son agree that this obsession should be satisfied in some way, they both decide to go. Very good scenes happening after that. But either way, they have to then raise money. So I don't know how long it really took.
Fucking forever, yeah.
Right. All this shit takes forever. And they don't take a plane, so they take a fucking... It takes forever to get back.
Yeah.
But they go back then. You think he lost his chance? Like, arguably, you can say he lost his chance from this fat guy who fucked it up the second trip. Because he did... He literally had a big statue he saw that he couldn't even explore properly because he had to take care of this guy. And he had to go back. Remember? In the waterfall area?
That's right, yeah.
There was one scene.
Where I was actually... It's like one of those weird moments of dread.
Yeah,
because like a rush of water comes out and you think he's about to die. Because he's about to get pushed by this water.
Yep.
But he's like, oh no, he's complete composure. He held his own.
And there was tons of that. There's arrows flying in him. And then next thing you know, they take him into the jungle. He's coming out. Hey, we're all good.
Right, exactly. Like, there is. It's like, this is a weird moment of dread. You don't know where... Anyways, I don't know. I never felt like he lost his chance because was he was supposed to go back after the war?
See, well, I mean, does the movie give you
an if that scene came in earlier, like before the war, that would have made more sense for me. But during the war, and then like he
well, it's
like,
during the war, and then who knows how many times until he got injured, recovered, went back to his family, and then decided to come back again.
Right.
Some time passed.
Yeah, no. I mean, it just looked like. Because, you know, then again, the movie, obviously, there is pacing things that has to happen, right?
Yeah.
It did look like that happened, and then he went and rallied his troops to go fight. Like...
Oh, you mean the next day?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I don't need the movie specifically.
I hear you. It looked just like it.
I mean, I thought the gypsy was there, or the fortune teller.
Right, exactly. No, but I'm saying, that's why I was asking you. So this was, it's a weird placement. So for me, I didn't see it as a lost opportunity, because the movie still gives it
I guess every time I saw a scene change, I just imagined time had passed, because it could be seen either way.
It could be, that's the thing.
Not all of them, but a lot of everything. Yeah.
But, you should put that into your head, I guess, because at the beginning of the movie... Or not the beginning of the movie, but the first time he travels to the jungle. We've been here for 2 years, he says, something like that, right? And you're like, bro, you've been here for like 10 minutes in movie time.
Right, yeah. The whole traveling, meeting Robert Pattinson.
Right,
and
exactly.
Before you know it, it's blink in 2 years, and he got this letter, and he doesn't want to read it.
Right.
We should talk about that, probably.
At the beginning of the movie?
The first trip.
Is the first trip, isn't it?
I believe so. He asked Robert Pattinson read the note, or to paraphrase it back to him. I mean, I think it was the second trip, actually. He asked him to paraphrase it to him.
It was,
and then he burns it without even reading it for himself.
That's right. He tells him, read the note, and then he says, you can paraphrase if you want.
Right.
That's what he says. Yeah. Almost like he doesn't want to... Yeah, it's an interesting one. This kind of tells you the character where he is, at least in mindset-wise, where he's not a family man. He almost has no connections. He almost doesn't want the connection.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I think the obsession matures. Those are examples because at that point, he is obsessed in a greedy, prideful way.
Yes. At that point, yes.
By the time the third trip is even in motion.
I think the second trip is completely greedy. The first trip was, it's for my name.
No, I think they're both greedy for different reasons. Or they're both maybe wrong-headed.
I didn't see the first one as greedy because he's almost forced to do that.
No, I mean, but he chooses the job. He chooses to go.
He does choose, yes.
And the thing that whet his appetite was this, you know, his good name being placed better in society. Yeah. That was the carrot that he wanted. So the second trip is more obsession based. Like he fell in love with the jungle. He fell in love with the people. He grew, you know, more mature about the world too.
Yeah,
good things, but also the bad thing is the obsession. And then by the time the third time comes around after the war really, really, you know, settled him, is my guessing. That's why because I'm thinking after the first saw the movie, I'm like, why even put the war stuff in there? Just to show us where in history we're in? I'm like, I don't see it. Doesn't seem like a James Gray move.
Right, but if it's
But it's not. It's supposed to ground him. That's the whole reason. Like
it is, but not only that. But if that actually happened, I mean, it has to.
When he meets that fortune teller, he is even more reinvigorated, if he wasn't already, to go back to the jungle. But he gets injured. He comes back out. He sees his family. He doesn't go.
Yeah, but see, like right. That's what you're saying, that he missed his opportunity. For me, it's he still goes with his opportunity because he goes with his son.
No, I know that, but it's not like something he even dreamed or expected. Like, I think he'd given up that thing. He let his fame be famous.
I get what you're saying.
And his son brought him out, probably from all these stories, from all these newspaper clippings, who knows what, all these combination of things. His parents are obviously well-read on this subject. Right. They probably have already books on it. It makes sense that the kid would want to be as, I mean, the kid would have the same kind of core values as his father does. And it seemed makes sense that he would convince him. Like, the kid was really, convince me to do it. You know, in that one scene. And his mother, you know, the mother by then, you know, it's like, she's like, I won't go. She doesn't even say it because she wouldn't want to go anyway. I don't think, anyway. It just, it feels like a rite of passage.
Yeah.
It becomes like a tradition, not a greedy, self-obsessed obsession.
I guess.
Well, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
You want to talk about the ending?
Yeah, talk about the ending, dude. Talk about the death or with the wife? Which one?
I will do death first.
Okay. Fawcett and Son.
So, they die?
I think so. I mean, you mean because they send the watch?
Huh?
You mean because they send the gold watch at some point?
Yes.
Well, I don't think they die.
It wasn't a watch, it was a compass.
Compass, my bad. That scene is so beautiful and haunting.
What do you think it was?
I don't know what caused her death. It was a misunderstanding, right?
Wait, so, did they die, though?
Well, I mean, what caused them to be in that situation where they told themselves they were going to die?
Oh, understood.
With the natives,
they were running away from different natives, and they encountered. They were running away from natives.
That's right. That's right.
And they encountered different natives who they were taken from because they didn't know who they were.
Gotcha.
And then theoretically, they're going to get killed.
Right.
Although Fawcett didn't, or Percy didn't feel, because they're both Fawcetts.
Right.
Didn't think he was going to die.
We're calling the other kid Peter Parker.
Okay, cool. So, they didn't think he was going to die at all.
You mean at first? No, he probably thought he could talk his way out of it or be friendly and that's it.
I think even at the end, either he maybe just admitted that he was going to die or something and he just let it go.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think this guy was probably really like serene about the whole thing.
Very serene.
Right, he was so... I think he's been in danger so many times that he's just so cool with it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, his son... I mean, the look on his face was...
Devastating. Yeah, that was a good scene. That's what I'm saying. It was very haunting and beautiful.
It was very haunting and beautiful. 100% agreed. It's crazy because you have your father next to you and your father looks like... cool as ice. We're talking about like he looks like he's like, psst, dude.
He's about to sell a car.
Like, no, like, dude, you don't even know. Like, we're pulling a prank on you right now. Like, shit like that, right?
No, but the way he talks about death as the next thing we don't know, the unknown, the discovery thing, the ultimate discovery. Yeah, like, yeah, he's saying the right things, I guess.
No,
giving him the right amount of endorphins he needs to get through this.
The movie does this weird thing where they put him on a raft-ish kind of thing, and they throw him in the river or something, right?
Yeah.
Theoretically, it's a burn or something, right?
Or drown.
Or piranhas, because we encounter piranhas at one time.
It does seem like a very healthy ritual for them, though. It doesn't seem like they're disposing of bad people.
Yeah.
Seems like here's a helping hand ritual.
But honestly, the way I saw it, because especially, like, I thought about it, and then I kind of, like, reinforced it towards the end, because he gets the compass.
Yeah.
Which is... they left them to the jungle. They tied them, and they're like, if they live, they live. If they don't, they don't. It's just like, we're discarding you. Let the river take you. Right, or take some stream. And that led them to whatever, and they managed to live. Or at least Percy did. Maybe not the son. One of them enough to send the thing. And that's where I think that's what happened, where they were just like we're gonna let the jungle take care of you, you know, and you just push them away, right? And if you make it, you make it. And if you don't, you don't. That's the way I saw it.
That's a good one. I always thought that they died.
Okay.
But I never gave myself the opportunity to think they might have lived.
Okay. Well, you know why? Only because, like, you see them get pushed into this, like, this weird, like, kind of like, not a stream, like, it was like a stream, river thing, right? And you're like, where are they being sent somewhere?
Right.
Right. And that's the way I saw it, right? They're being sent somewhere. And they just left to be. And it looked like old ruins. also.
Yeah, that's another thing. That shot was also happened to be night, which obscured a lot.
Yeah.
It kind of indicates like maybe they're not right next to the thing they're looking for.
Right, exactly. It indicates that they're either really close or
on it.
Or on it, right, yeah. Exactly. So I honestly feel like they were just like left to either you make it or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's the way I saw it.
No, that's definitely more hopeful. I wish I had saw it that way, but yeah. I'm turning to
pessimistic.
No, because I would say that even I haven't thought about it. Now that I am thinking about it, I like that. I probably prefer that right now.
Yeah.
But if they had died, you're right. The question is how to get the compass.
I mean, he could have said that earlier.
Right, but there's no indication that he found the city yet, yeah. And he doesn't seem like a liar.
Yeah.
In that way, anyway. So now we talk about the wife. I'm gonna leave it to your that whole death thing, the faucet. I like your opinion on it, so okay. I'm just gonna stay there.
So let's go with the wife. Go ahead.
Wife. Oh, I love this scene. Okay, James Gray. Again, he's known for a lot of things. More mainly, is his last shots in movies are always pretty cool. Fucking killer shots. The Immigrant has a great shot with mirrors and shit. This one also with a mirror. So it's been years.
Yeah.
And at least 3 or 4 or 5, maybe more.
Yeah.
And the wife. Goes to the head of the Explorer Society, Architectural, National Geographic, whatever they're called, who gave him the highest award, Percy, who sent him on the mission. He asked, you know, always for updates. And obviously there's no updates. No one's heard a thing. She's still not losing hope. Everyone else thinks that they've died.
Yeah.
Which, common.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
No one's come back. They sent other search parties. Like, apparently, you know, they
mentioned like 100 people or something.
There's something like that. It's amazing how these people were so... hailed by their peers, by their societies and communities, enough to send 100 people down there. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of money.
Not only that, but it's a lot of money.
A lot of money. Yeah.
I mean, you're paying these people to go there, right. And if they die, there's probably a compensation package for their wives.
So they're sending all these things, and they're not getting anything back, which kind of solidifies more and more the fact that they went so deep that no one's ever going to find them in a good way. Meaning they probably found something.
Yeah.
On top of whatever natives that no one's seen yet. And then there's two things that go on. One is that she is, the guy explains that we did get something strange recently or whatever, and he explains that he has a golden compass that they got in the mail, right? Or does she give it to him?
I thought she gave it to him.
I thought he was just showing it to her. But
no, I thought she gave it to him.
Okay. Well, either way, it gets to him. Yeah. And clearly, oh, yeah, you're right. I'm thinking on it. Yeah, she does give it to him. And gives it to him. She doesn't know what it was for, which is very interesting because you think she would have gone there the minute and would have. There's an interesting thing about this because she never knew that.
Because it's a conversation.
The golden compass.
The private conversation.
The golden compass between him and this man was only held between them two, and it signified that they found the lost city of Z.
Right.
And they either got. Killed or they decided to stay, and that's what they get the golden compass,
right? Because
they're not going to come back,
right?
So he knows what the significance of it means. This woman here is crying for hope and some knowledge,
anything,
and that is not happening. No one's giving her the truth here. He didn't know that. So, but the movie also ends hopefully. Then it's not like she's left on the wind. Her hope is so strong. Her belief that they made it and they're fine, and they're at least free in the sense that they found this place and their obsession was satisfied, is met when she's walking down the foyer or whatever, and it's a huge mirror there, a beautiful mirror, and then as she's walking, the reflection is her walking into a jungle, into the same jungle they've always walked, even though they're inside some palace in Britain.
Right, exactly.
So, and that's the end of the shot. That's the last. So, what do you think?
Well, I think that's
is that the hopeful setting? Is that the movie? Is that what the movie's saying? You think?
I think that is a hopeful setting. Mm-hmm. That her husband chose the jungle over her. But yeah.
I mean, you're right. I mean, yeah, I guess you're not wrong.
I'm not wrong, but yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is, like, I think the movie. That's why it kind of solidifies. Like I said, my decision of like they lived, right?
Mm-hmm.
He sent the, I think she had it, he had it sent to her for almost to her to know, hey, this, I'm here. Like we're alive. Right.
Yeah.
But she had it, you know, she ended up giving it to the guy, but the guy knew the message, right. Thinking that they might, there was no letter attached. Maybe there was, it was just lost.
Mayhaps.
Right. You never know. But yeah, there's this, I don't know. For me, it is a hopeful ending. And I don't know what that jungle shot for me is, to be honest with you. Besides,
I mean, it leaves things open for sure.
Right.
Interpretation.
Well, I almost felt like, wait, is she going to go to the jungle right now? Like,
No, oh no, I saw it as that's just how much she's so keeping hope alive, or something like she knows it in her bones that her lover, her husband, is safe, or is something that she's wanting. I don't think she's gonna go necessarily. I just think it's something that she's like, her spirit is there, kind of thing. Like, it's, she's just there all the time. Yeah. Like, her mind is always on this hopeful lost city of Z thing. And that's why they're the jungle and the reflection. But I don't know. Many interpretations.
Though. Yeah, that's
I thought of four right there. I don't know.
Right. That's just what I'm saying. Like, it's an interesting one.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful shot.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
The guy knows how to make movies. I really dig it. We like this movie. Mainly for this discussion, but I was just, when I first saw it in theaters, it was one of those movies for that I thought, like, yeah, I might need to see this movie again, probably. Like, I think it'll work differently or better, and it certainly did. There is something interesting. I saw Life of Pi today.
Oh, cool.
And they both have a similar feeling at the end, and we'll kind of leave something open to interpretation as to whether it's fate or more realistic versions of something. Yeah. And I didn't think of that until right now, because I happened to see both these movies in a week. But yeah, I think it's a good double feature if you're interested. Although I guess you'll think a lot about life and what is the meaning of it, because both those movies kind of do that a lot.
Yeah, well, it's a very
self-reflection.
Journey.
Yeah. But I think they pull off a very similar feeling ending. Okay. So I recommend that. Anything else you want to say before we cut it?
No, I can't think of anything else.
There's a review of Lost City of Z. When we come back after this little break, we're going to review another heavy movie filled with doubts, humanity, the future, soul. Do machines dream of electric sheep, you know? Blade Runner 2049. Stay with us.
Every civilization was built off the back of a disposable workforce. But I can only make so many. Happy birthday.
There is an order to things. That's what we do here. We keep order. The world is built on a wall that separates kind. Tell either side there's no wall. You bought a war.
A young Blade Runner's discovery of a long-buried secret leads him to track down former runner Deckard, who has been missing for 30 years. Blade Runner, 2049.
Can I throw in a caveat right now?
Sure.
I know that the trailers show it. I know that the posters are showing it, that Harrison Ford, Deckard, is reprising his role. But this movie clearly brings him back, brings him on in this movie way late in the movie.
Yeah.
Third act stuff, almost.
Yeah, almost, yeah.
So, can we not talk about his involvement until spoilers, even though everyone knows it? Just because I think it'll just spoil the rhythm of some of the themes and whatnot.
We can do that.
Would that be cool, Ruff?
Sure.
Okay.
I guess.
So, now we're on. So, what's this movie again? I'm kidding, I know. Blade Runner.
2049.
Right, 2000 something.
This is directed by Denis Villeneuve.
It's Denis Villeneuve.
I know. I just wanted to see what you would say.
I know.
Written by like 300 people.
Oh, is it really?
Nah, it's four people, but it might as well be.
Might as well be 300.
Hampton right. Francher, Michael Green. That's it. The other ones are just stories and whatever. It's the same shit.
Stories and whatever.
Yeah. So starring Harrison Ford. Ryan Gosling, Ana de Armas.
Does she play
Joy.
The girlfriend Joy? Okay.
Yeah. Dave Bautista, Robin Wright, who I like this movie.
Very much so, yeah.
I've seen him before, but Wood Harris, who's like in one random ass scene. Edward James Olmos, Jared Leto.
I mean, yeah, okay. I wouldn't even name him. He's in one scene.
I know. Like Mackenzie Davis.
Yeah, Mackenzie Davis. She plays the villain. Right, that's her. The bad robot.
Bad robot.
Sorry.
Wait. No, she plays the hooker.
Oh, that's her?
Yeah.
Oh, she's from that show, Halt and Catch Fire. My bad. I got it wrong. Messed up.
Yeah. All right.
Epic fail. Don't worry. I'm getting killed tomorrow.
Clearly. All right. I started with the last one, Oscar. First impressions. What did you think of Blade Runner 2049?
Okay.
I'm always going to pause, by the way.
I have a lot of thoughts, for sure.
This movie
brings a lot of thoughts.
This movie is 2 hours and 44 minutes, if I remember correctly.
You know as to its credit, it felt not that long at all. And I would have wanted more.
I would agree with you. And don't worry, there'll be many director's cuts.
Oh, man, I really hope not. I like how this movie just shoots this one version of those original thoughts. Like, yeah, this is the one, guys. I don't care about the rest.
Right.
And then we're going to go roll with it, right?
Right.
So, my first thoughts coming out of the movie theater, as it is with a lot of movies that deal with a lot of heaviness to it, or that try to, is that I didn't think it was as either. I always go in the middle ground. Like, I'm never sure if I think as positively or as negative.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard, though.
I first gave it 3.5 stars, or 3 stars, which is not bad, but it's not great. Not great either. Now it stands at 4.5 stars. Out of 5.
Oh, wow.
Maybe 4, but the 4.5.
Sure.
So I clearly like it more now. Now that I've had thoughts about it, now that I've talked to other people about it, you briefly and others, unfortunately, who are less analytical about movies, they're like, yeah, it's cool. No, it's not. I need more, guys.
This movie's cool.
Because, like, if anything, it's so much. I try so hard not to be cool.
Right. I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
There's a lot of stuff going on in this movie.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. I really liked it. A lot of stuff worked for me. Some stuff did not, though. But it worked for me so well that I think we should, another precursor to this review a bit more maybe, is that we should talk about our relationship to the original 1984 version, or whatever year it came out, of the Blade Runner, Ridley Scott's. Because I think a lot of, because it is a clear sequel. Very clear sequel, and I wish I'd seen the original Blade Runner right before
recently. Yeah,
I did see it earlier this year, like in winter or spring maybe, but I don't remember it very well. And I have a very fucked up relationship with the original movie.
You never liked it.
Never liked it. It's really boring. It takes me like 2 times to watch it, to sit through it at least, sometimes 4 times. And that's just because I'm trying to see what people are seeing, and I ultimately see their points.
Yeah.
Just like maybe you see a point in a movie I love that you don't love. Yeah. Same things, except that this is writ large because everybody and their mother loves this fucking movie.
I just think it's a big movie. It's like it's almost like Star Wars, where it's like, it's just one of those big sci-fi movies, you know.
For sure.
It's a big world that we want more of, but we don't know nearly enough, or we know a lot of it, but we don't know anything about it either at the same time. So yeah,
I agree. Yeah, I guess, you know, and just I have a lot of problems. I'm not gonna talk about the original Blade Runner. It's not what this is about.
Sure.
But just a huge problems. I would say the philosophy of the original Blade Runner, I think, it's deeper than this movie, but this movie is pretty fucking deep regardless. So that's all my starting thoughts. What do you think of the movie?
I'll agree with you there. I think the movie, the original, I'll just get this out of the way. I don't want to talk about the original because we're not talking about the original. Mm-hmm. But the original is heavier in that aspect in comparison to this. Not saying this movie isn't heavy at all. It is. It's just, yeah. Other than that,
for sure.
That's all I need to talk about the first one until we get to later on in the movie. This movie was... There's a lot of weird, cool, interesting things going on, and it's like I really enjoy that. Anything fanboy that you want to fanboy over,
yeah,
is done, and it's over with. Okay, it's like I show you the gun, you see the gun, he uses the gun, we're done with the gun. Like it's just an instrument, guys. Right.
Right.
He doesn't have anything else. That's it. And that's like everything else is all on him, right? We focus. I just love how we're focusing completely strictly on Kay, which is Brian Gosling's character.
I never got his name really. I never remember his name throughout the movie.
His name is Officer Kay.
Yeah, no, I know all that. Now and after the movie, not yeah. right now, the second, but
no, I never knew his name throughout the whole movie.
Right, like throughout the movie, I just
right
called him Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, that's what I did too, because I was like, head, yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. There's because
La La Lander.
La La Lander. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but over, I mean, I really like the movie. I don't know where I stand star wise like you do, but
okay.
I like the movie overall. It was a really cool ride. There's a lot of cool things, a lot of segues, a lot of a lot of turns. It's like, I don't know, it makes you have to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I overall enjoy the world. I didn't get this over sensing dread of how like it could tip the scales of how crazy the balance of society is.
Okay.
And the reason being is that I don't know, maybe it's poor for the movie because I think it uses the prior movie for it, right? But the stakes, right?
Yeah.
The stakes, they don't feel as high because our character doesn't give a fuck because he's what's it called? He's
an android.
Yeah,
an android. Don't call them replicants in this movie, but
yeah,
they're not replicants.
Let's call them. But so he really doesn't have to care, right?
Because
why the fuck should he, right? And and at the end, we never see what they talk about or what they mention, specifically his captain. What's her name? The girl from House of Cards. I forget her name in the movie.
Oh, Robin Wright.
Yeah, Robin Wright.
Oh, real name.
Real name. Yeah. You like she's like freaking out every time she sees this guy.
For sure.
So, we're only watching it through his perspective, so we don't get that bigger picture. I don't know if that's a fault for the movie or because we're just
okay
super focused on his.
Yeah.
Or they just didn't care enough for it, regardless of the fact. I mean, other than that, without getting into more details of anything crazy, it was a fun ride, man.
I'm glad you liked it. Because this movie could really go either way.
Yeah.
And a lot of people. Not just from their opinions of what the movie's trying to say.
It could lose you.
But like lot of people, this movie's kind of like, it's targeted or trailered to be kind of an action movie. Yeah. It's not like that at all.
No. But it could lose you at any point. It could lose you at many turns. Because anything you want to cling on to, it could just dismiss that for you for now. And then come back to it later.
Yeah.
And you could be not in this movie anymore. I do agree with you there.
So much to talk about. Let's talk about the acting first. I think there's a lot of stuff we can talk about that separates from the story.
Yeah.
Acting. Ryan Gosling, I think, is, as far as movie stars that can play this role, he well casted.
I agree.
Because the guy has that that edge from Drive.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
He's like, I don't know how it's because in that movie, he barely says a word. He barely emotes. He fully reacts, but he doesn't do anything beyond that.
Exactly, yeah.
And I think this movie is, of course, a replicant. Make Ryan Gosling one. He's perfect for it. Even though he has some comedy chops from last year's movie, The Other Guys, or The Nice Guys.
The Nice Guys, yeah.
So, I think he did a good job. I think they picked a good guy to do it. Harrison Ford, not spoiling anything, but just saying his performance, very good, too.
Yeah, agreed.
Did not look phoned in at all. Yeah. Looked like he wanted to be there. Looked like most some stars, like Sean Connery, wouldn't come back for... You know, there's a whole controversy over Skyfall. He would have been perfect if he came back, but he chose a different actor. He didn't care. He didn't want to come back. Like, he has no respect, but he's just done with it, right? He's just done with that whole life chapter. But Harrison Ford brought it back. It was good. He's done two for two as comebacks. Maybe 2 for 3, because Indiana Jones 4 was not very good. same thing with, the lady who plays Joy killed it.
I'm 100% agree with you there.
Right?
I think phenomenal job on her part.
And it has like a very Her feeling, the movie Her.
Super
feeling. Like, how can you not think about it? That one scene when she uses a surrogate, similar to that scene in Her.
Yeah,
perfect.
I agree.
And that goes with the other thing I want to talk about is the fucking, the movie looks amazing.
Yeah.
It makes you want to live in this shitty world. That's how... Because it's all shitty.
Yeah,
Las Vegas is shitty.
Poor cinematographer, right?
Oh, Roger Deakins?
Yeah.
No, he makes it look fucking great.
Yeah.
He mixes those colors like nobody's fucking business. He really does. I'm so glad I saw it in the most HD version I can find it in. And that theater night. I'm so glad I did because I don't regret every frame is amazing in this movie. It looks so dreary. The rain looks amazing. Everything's fucked up and sad, but it looks the most amazing version of those things.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah,
yeah. And that scene, as far as special effects go, that scene with the surrogate, the coupling with Joy and the other girl, Mackenzie Davis, or whatever her name is, when they're going in and out and the morphing and the pro. That
fucking was bonkers for me.
Blew my mind on the effects. It was so good.
Yeah, that was bonkers for me. That's really, really cool scene because, like, you don't know what it is at first, and you're just like, "What is going on?" You're like, "Oh my god, it's both at the same time."
And at the same, and another this thing makes my top 10 in world building too.
I love that because I love that scene a lot because, sci-fi always feels like everything has to be polished.
Yeah,
and this shows that not everything's polished. Nothing is ever polished.
Right, exactly.
Like even. When she synced herself, remember she was trying to sync herself with her or whatever?
Yeah.
Even then, it was still not polished. Because like, that's not how it is. You can't ever predict someone's movements and all those crazy things.
Yeah, which makes sense. You can't.
I was really worried that they were just going to replace her. But they did a really cool mesh of both of them.
Right.
And then showing both at the same time. And I was just like, it was really bonkers. It was a really cool scene, though.
I mean, you're Ryan Gosling in that scene, but you're not a replicant. You're everything you know. Would you go through with it? How would you go through? What's your first move? Like anything like that? Because the move kind of puts you in that position.
Yeah, I don't know what I do.
Right? It's kind of like,
I don't know who do I wait
for. I'll be like, you start.
Right.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, you're only hurting one person.
That's true.
And that's the AI.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. Anyway, the world building also is amazing. There's amazing attention to detail. I've heard this mentioned in other things before, so we're kind of rehashing some other things, but it's just, it cannot be untold, is that the movie, and I thought of this myself, as I was very, very obvious watching the movie. If you've seen the original was made in a time where pre-internet, the way we use screens and phones, Atari winning, Atari was a big deal. I love how they bring back Atari as if it always was a big deal.
Yeah.
And they treat technology, they treat a future where technology would have gone from 82's point of view.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's so cool. It could have easily gone any other way. It could have easily been glossier too because we kind of lean to the glossy.
I do love the one jab that they do in every movie.
Yeah.
But just about most movies where the cops always have the shittier equipment.
Oh my god, don't they? Like, for real.
They have, like, the worst equipment ever.
It's kind of sad. It's, like, always the case with them. It's, like, it doesn't even matter. And I think all those things combined just makes it a really cool set and feel for the movie. Man.
Where do you want to go with this?
I don't know, man.
Do you want to go plots? Do you want to go characters? What do you want to do?
All right, let's talk about...
Do you want to go just in sections of the movie?
Right.
I mean, at this point, I really don't know where to go.
I mean, dealer's choice, your movie? Damn.
I would say we probably just go by sections.
All right, let's go to a section. Pick a section. You mean like the first part of the movie?
Second, third,
The opening.
It's beautifully shot, let's be realistic. It looks great. No, it's interesting because you don't... Like, you know he's a Blade Runner. Ryan Gosling, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know that he's a replicant or an android, right?
You don't.
Well, does it say that in the beginning with the words?
I think the I'm not 100%. I think the crawl. I wouldn't be surprised if the word crawl did say that these new versions of replicants are being used to hunt Blade Runner or be Blade Runners to hunt down other older replicants.
It might have said.
Pretty sure it's that. Maybe not.
Yeah.
But I just knew from the way he was acting.
Yeah. No, you're sure.
And
yeah,
I'm like, I'm not an idiot. I know you would hire Ryan Gosling to play this because he would be a replicant.
Right. I might have said it, right? I might have said it. But yeah. I like how he's hunting, right, these older models or whatever, right?
Yeah.
For whatever reason. And how realistic they are, even though they're
aging.
Yeah.
Like, these things age.
Yeah.
There's a whole other component.
But not only that, they're like, they take beatings. They take, like, they fix.
Yeah, they do.
And but at the same time, they're obviously very strong. He goes through a wall. He's fine, right? Ryan Gosling? I like to see in the beginning because it shows that he's been doing this for a while. That he's already grown some independence, but he's still very technical in everything he does. Right? Everything he does is always by the book. He does what he's told, right, and everything, right? But at the same time,
which is showing the glaring difference of the older replicants, especially right, exactly. if you've seen the original movie.
Yeah, exactly. But what I love, that is showing that as well. But you can also tell that he's been doing this, like I said, for a while.
Yeah,
because
for sure
he goes, he's like, I really don't want to go through this again with somebody, right? Like, I don't want to fight with you. Like, I'm giving you the out. Please don't do anything, right?
Yeah. Well, the out is not really the same out, though. Like, that guy had no choice. That guy's out was a quicker death or a painful death.
Yeah.
It's sleep no matter what it is, right? It's like, that's what my understanding of it is.
Yeah, no. Right, yeah. Exactly. No, exactly, yeah. It was either fight me to die or die eventually. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to send you to die. Like, you're going to be decommissioned. Like, I hate
to... No, they call it retired.
Retired.
Yes, right.
Yeah, that was interesting. And then what were they farming? With maggots?
Yeah, in this world, obviously we used up all the resources. I love the little touches like wood. A piece of wood is valued to be a lot of money. Like, if you have a piece of wood, you are rich. People think you are already a rich person.
You see a tree that's dead, right? It's all white?
It's all white and dead, and it's being held up by cables. You notice that? The ground is unlivable. They have to make their own do. That's why they're growing maggots for protein, things like that.
But he spots a flower.
He does. I'm not saying nothing's impossible, but I'm saying out there probably is easier than it is into the big Coruscant-looking cities.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I don't know. It's hard. I guess it's all world-building. Nothing is explained.
Yeah,
kind of have to just piece it together. But yeah, that's what it's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's eating he's boiling maggots, I think, right?
I think that's
what he's eating getting ready. Like the one thing he can buy or eat, I mean. Yeah. I love the beginning because it says what you were saying about his organization skills, the fact that he follows his orders to a T without a glimmer of hesitation.
Yeah.
And also, this world is set in a different way. Like, the problems from the original Blade Runner are different than the problems here. Here, everyone knows if you're a replicant the minute they see you.
Right.
There is nothing that hides that from you. Not to say there's a chip in your head, but everyone knows it. That's just how easy it is. In the past, there was a big problem. You had to question everybody and then trip them up in a certain way. And once you did that, then you know for sure.
They were too humanish.
Right. The Blade Runners were used to be more detective sleuthy type, and this one they're used to subdue only.
Right.
Find and subdue.
Exactly.
Yeah. Search and destroy.
Right.
So
it's almost like an easier division now.
It is an easier division, but I like the other core problem of the movie, the cool conflict, I mean. That's a big difference. So when the movie starts, I think the question that I was thinking is not whether or not Ryan Gosling, Kay, is a replicant. Is that how many people I'm going to be seeing are even going to be human? That was a question I was asking myself.
Yeah, that was an interesting question to ask also because, theory, we're on Earth, right? And there's obviously way off planets, right?
Yeah, there are
some everywhere off planet is they use replicants, right? Or they use androids. To get them going. Slave labor, basically, right?
Yeah, they're slaves, exactly.
Yeah. But here, all the humans live, right? So in theory,
it's easier to live
you're seeing way more humans than replicants. But at the same time, it is. Even throughout the movie, you still don't know how many there are and there aren't.
Right.
So it's a good thing that what you bring up. But you also get the baseline questions right after when he gets back.
Well, those are interesting. What do you think they are? Or what do you know they are?
I think it's how he answers and mm-hmm. It's not how fast he answers, it's how he answers. How sure of himself he's answering.
Right. You're exactly right. It's just to say that if he is getting in any way, like if his programming is betraying him to have any emotion or thought that will be rebellious to his orders.
Exactly.
Like, that's the whole point. As long as he's baseline, what they call it.
Yeah.
Because they have to keep these replicants happy in some way. And they give them fake memories, for example, that they know are fake.
Right.
But their thought processes, whatever goes in there, needs to know or have hope in order to follow those orders and
not
be calm all the time.
None of that. But they get paid.
They have their own apartments.
They have their own places.
Yeah, they have their own desires.
They have their own desires.
They want food, fake food, as much whatever fake food they want, because the food there really sucks. So they have to have holographic better food on top.
Yeah.
That was sad.
That was so sad.
I mean, for humanity, that's just sad.
Yeah.
I want a steak right after.
Well, I mean, if it was only for replicants, I'd be like, all right, that's cool. Right? Whatever.
But they need to eat too, I guess.
Right, exactly. But I was like, but just humanity in general is fucked up.
Yeah, and they have slur names for everyone, right? for them. They call them skin name something.
Yeah, I forgot. But I
skin buckets, skin metal, something. I don't remember. I'm sure somebody's yelling right now. But yeah, they have like no one likes them, no one appreciates them, but everyone needs them, so no one really messes with them either.
Right.
And they just have, and they don't have the composure to be hurt by that, but they have to deal with it.
Yeah.
So it's a strange gray area that shouldn't exist. That I think the movie does a good job of putting you through. So.
Yep.
What do you think of his daily life stuff? I mean, all the stuff like the whole coming home, hi, honey, I'm here. And it's clearly.
It felt so sad at first.
Right.
So sad. I mean, but.
Did you think it was like a recording or something?
Yes.
I'm just curious.
She did. I thought it was a recording. And then I was like, oh, shit, it's a hologram.
That's a perfectly normal. Understand. Yeah, I would think that too. I thought that too. Yeah.
I thought it was like some video they put in, like that all of these guys go through or something.
Oh, right. That's even worse.
And I was like, oh, my God, this is so bad.
And that's strangely realistic and going to happen in this world, like in our world.
I would have thought.
Virtual girlfriend and stuff like that. It's just
I mean, we're not too far from that.
We're like 10 years away or something. Yeah. Because
so
someone's going to make
around
that.
Around 2039.
Wow. Wow.
Anyways, so yeah, I think once you find out that it's whatever, that relationship later on, I think pays off really well between hologram and
Kate. Oh, it's my favorite payoff in the movie.
Yeah. So that plays off well. But you get this the beginning of the movie where you get the whole, they find this weird case with the bones on somebody who had a baby, right? Or
a replicant that had a baby.
Twins, right? They say.
Yes. Well, no, the twin thing was brought up a bit later, but it was like an enlarged thing. They noticed that she was pregnant and that they found a serial number in one of the smaller bones.
Right.
Which means that she was a replicant.
Exactly.
From the old days. And that kicks off the real conflict of the movie. The conflict being that it's not a question of finding these replicants, is that the main, I don't want to say villain, but I'll just call him the main conflict of the movie, this guy, Jared Leto, who is the president of this grand company.
Yeah, the president
CEO,
of the company.
CEO, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Who took over the old replicants.
Right, the Tyrell Corporation.
He took over the Tyrell Corporation, yes. Right? And now he's the one, the sole creator of them.
Right, he's the one who's created the better versions of them where they're more docile and they're, you know, have rebellious touch to
exactly.
them. But they still need to hunt the OGs. They probably need to hunt those OGs, not just because they're existing, and there's a lot more than I thought there were, by the way.
A lot.
This movie reflects that anyway. Not only because there's a lot of them still out there, but because he wants to really experiment on them. Or find out about them, because apparently the Tyrell Corporation, someone from the past, figured out how to make replicants that can replicate. And he right. can't.
Yes.
The reasons for that seem strange to me. Here's where I get fuzzy. Because it seems to me like if you need a factory, or
whatever.
Let's say 10, let's just even go crazy. Let's say you need a whole moon to make a replicant. I don't think it takes that much. Because he clearly has his own little facility there to come down in a plastic bag. So it's just in a factory building to create a replicant, let's say one a day. If you make replicants to work those factories, then isn't that the same as them procreating in a way? Like, what is the big issue with them being able to grow them inside?
The whole like reason for that was he could double his production.
Yeah, but I know that's what he was saying. And I think he was saying in a more like philosophical way, like this is our future, like this is how we're gonna go grow genetically, is by making these indestructible beings
yeah.
to carry our own will for us, because we're their creators. Once we die off, they will take over, and the best way they can take over is if they can procreate. But yeah. if they can handle their own factories, you just teach them how,
right?
It's the same thing. So what is the big deal with this whole I'm just saying,
but is it the whole reason?
It's a little confusing.
I guess the way I see it is where they will. The key thing for us in comparison to the replicants, right, for humanity is we are able to procreate, right?
Right.
So the way he sees it, if they are going to be our predecessors, right,
mm-hmm.
If they are going to be the ones who take over and everything, then they need to have that same ability as us if they're going to be taking over from everything. So then this way they get everything that we've had from the beginning also.
Mm-hmm.
So from childbirth to that, because they're born adults. Or they come out as adults.
Right,
they don't come out as kids.
Right.
Unless, I guess, if they make kid versions, which I don't know. I've never seen one. But I doubt it, because they do them for manual labor. So,
like Steven Spielberg's AI.
Right, exactly. So they're made for slave labor. So
for sure.
Then that's where he says it. But the whole reason that he wants them to come out is because he's basically greedy. And it's like story of old time. I can only make for 9 planets, he said, or something like that.
Yeah. I guess we have that many planets, or yeah, we colonize that much.
Or colonize which that I guess much, makes right. sense. And he's like, I can only make for 9 planets. That's not enough.
Yeah.
Like, he's hit his, like, quota or whatever.
Also,
and if they can procreate, he can get them to all... Now it's...
Okay. We're explaining a lot of this background guy, but Jared Leto's character, evil or not? I mean, does all this seem very greedy? You think he's
greedy
being
for sure? Yeah.
Do you think he's being forward minded on humanity's future in a positive way or
something? I just think he sees what more than likely is going to happen.
I think there's a setup for him for another movie.
Is he a replicant?
No, but it's funny that how replicants all look very human, but he has all these augmentations, especially in the eyes, that apparently he has these cameras that he sees for them, or they see for him, whatever.
Yeah.
He's the one who looks less human, even though he's a human.
Even though he's human.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That was perfect. That was a nice touch, Denis Villeneuve.
Yeah.
That was good. And Jared Leto, I mean, he's all right as an actor. He's all right in this movie, I guess. He was crazy, for sure. He looked like a maniac. But,
yeah, that for sure. Psychopath.
But it's hard to see him. I believe less of his emotions or lack of emotions because of those eyes.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
Whatever. I'm leaning to think that he, like, there is a darker version of this that we're not getting yet. We don't know the big picture of really what is this guy doing. His name is Wallace Wallace, I think. The Wallace Corporation took over. I think his name is Wallace. So I don't know what he's really doing because it seems like the facts that we know about what he wants to do and what he actually can do, even though not having, not knowing exactly how to make these replicants replicate, is a small problem that he doesn't need to fix right now. And I'm sure more of it will come to light if they make another movie, which I don't see why they wouldn't. It's made the money.
Well, I just think he knows that his humanity is going to hold him back, where he's going to die eventually.
I don't think the guy has any humanity, honestly.
No, I'm saying the fact that he's human. Sorry to say it.
Hmm.
His mortal. The fact that he's mortal,
okay.
Right? In comparison to these guys, right? The replicants.
Yeah.
He's going to die before he fixes this issue. That's where I think he is, and that's why he would rather have it solved now,
okay.
Rather than whoever his predecessor is to do it.
Okay.
But nonetheless, he's a greedy, and I guess you could say a villain.
He's he's definitely against our heroes.
Exactly.
Do you think Kay is a worthy hero? I think he has a very interesting journey, but none of it really becomes heroic until something at the end.
The journey is definitely interesting, and the adventure.
I think they chose a good protagonist. I just don't think he's a hero.
No, I don't think he is a hero. Right. I don't think he is a hero until our third act.
In many ways, if you see the original Blade Runner, one of my gripes about the movie that just inherently bothers me is that Harrison Ford is the most inept Blade Runner I've ever seen. Not that I've seen any. But, like, the only reason he survives from good luck and, like, people giving him mercy. You know, girl saves him from that one pivotal scene. At the end, the guy decides not to kill him to show him how humanity can be lived in a weapon. Like, what the fuck, bro? The guy did nothing right at all in that movie. So, sorry. A little gripe. So, this movie's better than that, I guess?
The guy did nothing right?
Uh-huh. He didn't?
Yeah. The worst cop ever.
Worst? Right? I'll be like that comic book guy. Worst cop ever.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
Our hero, if he was a hero.
My hate got blended. I think we both agree. He's not a hero. I think we're doing it wrong with the second stuff. Let's just talk about Ryan Gosling for now. Kay's best thing about it. I think the joy thing is the most interesting thing. We'll explain why. I think we could quit that for spoilers because it's at the end. I think the whole idea that he feels hopeful about something that isn't his mundane order-driven world, it sells me on it, even though it's kind of barely. Like, it sells me that he would be obsessed with something. By the time he finds... There's a scene where he... I don't know where he goes... But he ends up at a place where they sell, they make children work, and he finds himself in a place in real life that is based off a dream, or not a dream, but an implanted memory.
Yes.
And in this scene, which takes a while, by the way, this movie is very slow burn, by the way. The whole movie is very slow burn. Sometimes it really works, sometimes it doesn't. And in this one, he is basically discovering that his dream that was implanted wasn't faked at all, and that he is discovering something. He's actually finding the origin of that dream there. Like, the thing he hid in his memory actually exists in this place.
Exactly.
So, and I think that's what, when that happens, is the ultimate, that's okay, that's when I believed everything he would do, his obsession, his idea of hope and the fantasies that start, they're becoming reality for him. All that I believe, before that time, kind of hard for me to believe. What do you think? That he would continually do this. I mean, I know he was ordered by Robin Wright to follow some of this through, but I don't think it was that far, was it? Or supposed to go that far?
Oh, no, I think by that point, I would say he's more, it's a mix of both still for me. Because he's, at that point, he's, yes, he is following orders, but it's, he's almost too curious about his own memories, like you said.
Yeah.
Where it ends up paying off for him. Like, he doesn't really, because he's almost forced to go there, right?
Yeah.
And he's just following leads. That's all he's doing. He's doing his job, right? And once that does open up, I mean, it feels believable that he's just not a mindless robot, but just an ordered robot. Yeah. Like, he's got his own thoughts and he's got his own things, but he never has to act upon them because he always has to do a mission. He always has to do something, right?
Yeah.
So he never gets to act upon things like that. The only time he gets to act upon things is when he's with Joy. And the fact that he stumbles on this and an actual memory comes to life for him, right? And he's like, holy fudge, right? And that's where the movie shifts completely, where he starts acting upon more and more on his own things, especially when she starts answering incorrectly to things. Especially to his captain. He blatantly lies to his captain.
Yeah, he does. There's a scene. Robin Wright does a good job. I wish we had more of her.
Yeah. Oh, what did you think of that scene with Robin Wright
at the apartment?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she was up close to ordering him to fuck her.
I think she was trying to see if he would start it.
Really? To start it? Oh, maybe, yeah. Maybe I can see that for sure. That makes sense to me.
And then when she saw that he's like, does not compute, she was like, and I've officially had too much to drink and I'm going to go home. Like, one of those things.
Yeah.
That's how it looked. That's how I definitely took that.
And do you feel like it was righteous the way she was protecting him? She's like, okay, you can leave. You can leave the building, but at the end of the day, they're gonna start hunting for you. That kind of thing.
I think so. I think that scene helps out a lot. She was there and she kind of like falls for him, or she falls for somebody. I just think it's like her good lapdog. He's been so trustworthy ever since everything, right? And she obviously sees some humanity, even though she's completely says like it's good that you don't have a soul. Like,
oh my god, that scene.
That's the scene. The crazy scene.
It's not crazy. I mean, it's crazy for us because he's a protagonist.
Right.
And I feel like the original title of the short story based on this is called Do Machines Dream of the Electric Sheep?
Right.
Which makes perfect sense of that scene. Like, arguably, I probably wouldn't say that a machine does have a soul, but we feel like there is because all these main characters all are machines. And it makes sense that all the humans would think of him that way.
Right.
Like, just makes sense. Like, they wouldn't take a dog's opinion on...
Exactly.
On today's political climate seriously.
Right.
Right.
Or what color to paint my walls. But yeah.
What was that? Probably shit colored.
Yeah. So, that's besides the point.
Okay.
Where do we want to go?
I think we should go into spoilers.
Yeah, we've been walking around it.
Yeah, we have been. Let's just get into it. Spoilers for Blade Runner 2049, starting now.
The Nicholas for the colonial ships, closest any of them or any of us is gonna get to that grand life off world. So come on now. What sword do you have in mind? Because I got all kinds.
No, no, no. I'm not buying.
No, no, no. This is just my game, and I play it fair. No, no. I mean, bigger than you. Bigger than you were trying to shut me down. Bigger than you, and they were men at that.
Deckard dies.
He might be. I don't think he'll make it for the third movie. No, no. Oh, man. Okay, let's talk about Deckard. First of all, the marketing ruined this movie with that shit.
Yeah.
All of it. Even the posters. Why? I really thought he was going to come up really fast. It took forever. It took like an hour and change, yeah, at least, for him to come into the movie. And obviously, when he was going to Vegas and he was like, he's found the bees and traces of radio at whatever, I'm like, that's where he is. I just knew from that point.
Right.
He's going to a new place. He's off the grid now. Makes sense that he would find them then. But like, damn, it took forever to get there. And I was like, man, this movie spoiled. That would have been awesome. Yeah. So I'm just going to say that. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of like not as bad, but Kingsman: The Golden Circle had that whole trailer about Colin Firth being alive.
Yeah.
But they showed him pretty fast in the movie, like 20, 30 minutes in.
Right.
You know, it felt like a nice pace to bring him up.
Exactly.
But this one, oof, no way. So there's some really cool scene. First of all, standout scene was in the Vegas lounge when they're showing the old Elvis and the old Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, yes.
Very cool scene, not only with the sound design, but the visuals was very cool.
Well, the old technology.
It was a cool fight scene, like a cool hand-to-hand scene. He's trying to like not fight him back so hard because he's an old man. He doesn't want to hurt him.
Yeah.
And he is like protecting himself.
Right.
And I had that really cool, you know, this movie can be boiled down to like a few lines of dialogue. One of them is like Robin Wright's, you don't have a soul, so it doesn't matter, or whatever. Or another one could be boiled down to in that scene in his Vegas lounge room. Not the lounge room, his own personal area. I think it was Ryan Gosling who asked him, is the dog real? He's like, I don't know, ask him. Right? Perfect. Like, almost can encapsulate the whole movie right there. Like, the movie has a bunch of those.
Yeah, it does have those.
And I really like that. The whole Vegas scene was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add or talk about? Because there's a lot of stuff there still, but yeah.
That's a lot of booze.
Yeah, I would drink myself. I have nobody else but
a
dog.
A lot of booze.
He gives a dog fucking booze.
He just pours it.
Right?
That was fucking beautiful.
Classic.
I don't have anything else to add about that. It is true. I did like that scene because like it showed you how the technology is, like, it's obviously broken, right? That part or whatever.
Yeah,
but it looks dated in comparison to where we are now, or to where they are in the movie now.
Yeah,
even though it's still in the future for us.
By the way, that's a callback. The whole with the statues, the sexy.
Yeah,
it's a callback to Stanley Kubrick, right?
Is it?
To his movies in general, like that's the style, like the whole well, panning
wasn't
over.
Wasn't that also like in the original Blade Runner? That was like a big thing.
Oh, was it?
I think so.
Oh no, I fucked that up.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
I thought that was a big thing about it in what's that?
It was kind of a big deal, a small big deal, like a mini bug in Artificial Intelligence, which I mentioned earlier.
Yeah,
but that was based on.
I thought it was a big deal in what's it called? In the old company that used to make the replicants.
The Tyrell?
Yeah, I thought it was a big deal for Tyrell.
I mean, maybe I haven't.
I just can't remember. I haven't seen the movie.
It felt very Stanley Kubrick to me. Yeah, maybe. I thought it was a callback.
I don't doubt that. But I'm not.
No, I just thought that's why you did it. I'm pretty sure. But I guess you could be right. I didn't remember that at
all.
All right. So, what? I mean, did you feel like that scene when they're talking in the bar, the fake bar, whatever, when they're talking, they're finally, you know, like, okay, I'm not going to kill you. We talk about the potential. All he had to say was like, "I'm your son," and he would say, "No, I have a daughter, not a son." Like everything could have been solved then. Do you like the way it worked out?
No, I don't know. It's weird because like he, I thought the exact same thing. Why don't I just tell him I'm his son?
Right,
right. And then this way he'd be like, "Oh, what are you talking about?" But what did the conversation go into? Because he kind of gets segued away from things, and then by the time you see him want to say something again, they get attacked.
Yeah.
So what does he get segued into? Do you remember the conversations that they get into?
No, not that specific.
I'm trying to remember.
No, not that specific. I'm sorry.
Because he's about to say something to him. Like right after he says the dog thing. Because he's like, this is the dog.
Well, no, they get interrupted pretty soon after. No, he leaves the room because he finds out that all this chasing is going on. And that the truth of it all is coming back after all these years. Yes, all that is there. And they mention a blackout period, too. Not in this scene, but in a previous scene. I guess it might be important.
Oh, he starts interrogating him. That's what it was. He starts asking him questions like, well, where have you been? And did you know this person? And this was like that. It's almost like he wanted to make sure it was the real Decker. Hmm. And not somebody, not a copy or not. Or not something else, you know? Okay. Not a copy, basically. So maybe that's why he didn't bring it up. But, I mean, yeah, the first thing I thought of was, well, just fucking tell him already.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big thing about movies and TV in general.
It's one of those things that you look back on and say that, because obviously in the moment, you know.
The moment you're in it, you're watching the first time, you're like, okay, cool.
You don't know the answer.
You still might bring it up. You're like, I wonder if he's going to bring it up or something, right? But... When you look back on it, you do see, like, oh, that could have saved, like, 35 minutes of the movie.
Yep, easy. Like, very easily.
Like, they never have to meet with this underground group. Like.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
And so many things about this movie. I mean, we could spend on this for a while now.
Yeah. Oh, it's hard, because there's a lot of things.
Yeah, and I never know where to start, because it all leads to something that it opens up another can of worms. So. I guess we should probably stop talking about. I mean, the action was fine. Blah, 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 the plot, the ending.
Well,
do you think Kay's thing mattered? Do you think he died at the end? Do you think he dreamt the ending? What do you think? So one of the best things in the movie is you find out the truth about Joy. The fact that is that one machine is being pleased by another machine, right?
Yes.
Joy's a fake.
Which, let's be realistic, right? We all thought that, right?
Yeah, I had that in the back of my head.
Yeah.
That she was just like not playing him, but just being her own programming, not really loving him, though.
Right.
But she convinced me, though.
She convinced me, too. So, because she's like, oh, my God, you told me how special this is, and this and that, and blah, blah, blah.
Right. So it wasn't easy. But I would say that she convinced me. At the same time, I never not had the thought that she's worser version of, you know.
Uh-huh.
So when the curtain came down and heard that scene, I felt it.
Was he reaching for the gun or was he reaching for her?
He was reaching for. Oh, so I think he was reaching for her.
I want to say that, but it looked like he was close to the gun.
Well, put it this way: if he was reaching, this is interesting because if he was reaching for the gun and not her, it diminishes. His the whole thing with the giant hologram.
Yeah.
Because the giant hologram is what puts it all in the big picture perspective.
Yes, you're right.
And he makes this decision to go save Harrison Ford. But so if he was reaching for the gun, that scene is not needed. Because he always knew for real. I mean, you know, I guess he could have it both ways. He could say, I could still love her, but I still need to save this guy.
Yeah.
You could say that, I guess. But he still needed that reminding, so.
Right.
Which reminds me, so that holograph scene with the naked chick, naked Joy version of her, whatever.
Advertising.
Yeah. Man, that was brutal. I like how it puts him in that place to actually do something meaningful for once. And I like how it worked out at the end. It was very pleasing and satisfying for a movie that's so dreary and down. But what do you think of the ending? So he gets Harrison Ford to his daughter, which turned out to be this crazy awesome lady who makes visions and shit.
Yeah. Which makes memories.
Makes memories for implanted replicants. And she can never escape. She's told that she has this disease and can never leave this bubble. Cool scene when you introduce her, by the way.
Yeah. When you introduce her, like, halfway through the movie.
She knows who she is, right? Based on the fact that...
She knows who she is, yes. Yeah,
okay. Yeah. That was her memory.
Right, and you find that out at the end of the movie.
Right.
Because that's her memory, yeah.
Yeah, because the way she reacted to his memory the first time, she cries, and he's the first time that Ryan Gosling reacts in the movie, too. He screams out loud in anger and frustration.
Right.
Because of
his life just got ruined.
His life is like, it was been a lie.
Yeah.
Even though he kind of knew the implant was a lie, but it wasn't like, no, it wasn't. It was my dream.
Right, exactly.
But, so I liked all that. It was really cool.
That's a good city.
Do you believe that actually happened, that he got Harrison Ford there? A lot of people were complaining about that ending. I'm not really complaining about it.
So where do you think he died? Is that what you're asking? If he did that?
Well, because he rests on the steps and he closes his eyes. And as far as I know, that's the last we see of him, of K.
Yeah.
Right? After being sustained after all these injuries, too, by the way.
Right.
We didn't say that, but he did. So so he could have dreamt that his dissatisfying ending for Deckard's ending, you know, to meet his daughter finally.
Yeah, but he finishes at the steps where his daughter is. That's where he rests, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so then what's the problem?
No, I'm saying, did he, I mean, really bring her there, or did he just land on the steps and did that?
Oh.
After finding out the answer, right? Because it doesn't really totally make sense that Deckard would break his vow of silence suddenly to go there, mm-hmm. especially if maybe by now the Wallace guy, the Jared Leto's eyes, maybe they know by now. They're cheesing him probably still. Yeah. They're following him around. I don't know. It seems kind of risky. So do you think it happened? Do you think it didn't? It's clearly more satisfying that it happened, but do you think it happened?
Yeah, I never thought it didn't happen, okay. So I never had that issue. But now that you bring it up, I guess I'd have to rewatch it to see.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Fucked that up.
Yeah, it's okay.
That's what I do. It's my job. Anything you want to talk about the nature of machines versus man? Because this movie's clearly about that.
Well, it's weird because it's weird how they get... We're obviously in this weird, like... Because this is the problem with the movie. This is what I have... this is where my problem lies with the movie.
Finally.
Finally, right?
Yes.
Besides me just saying, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I like that too.
Is the world relies on what the original Blade Runner told you and what this is telling you. This is telling you almost nothing about the world in comparison to the first one. The first one tells you a little bit more, right? At least I see it a little bit more, right?
Yeah.
But they have different problems because there's a blackout and then... the world changes to where it is now
radically,
and they do give you that quick paragraph or two at the beginning of the movie, but that doesn't explain the situation, the bigger situation, or how, like, what kind of squalor or what kind of bad living environment we are in. Besides,
well, why is that important to you?
Well, that's important to me because you have these androids or whatever, replicants, who are working, right, and mm-hmm. taking jobs from theoretically humans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who or whatever, and they, even in the cop station, they look at them like fucking replicant or whatever, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That makes sense why they hate them,
right? Sure, but they hate them for that reason, right? But they make them, like, I get that job, make an android go get another android, so we don't lose, if we lose somebody, we lose an android, we don't lose a human. Mm-hmm. That makes sense to me, right? I have no problem with that job, but obviously they have different jobs elsewhere doing other things, not just off-world, but in-world. Okay. And it's never brought up, like, besides, like, a couple times snippets and, like, things of, like, no souls and stuff like that, where we don't know how much they're actually hated. And we don't know or why people hate them besides the fact that they take jobs of slavery, theoretically, off-world. Like, I don't understand
why they do them. I think that because... They don't have to breathe out there.
No, I'm saying, but...
Yeah.
I'm saying besides that.
Okay.
There's no, like... For me, there's no, like, this big tipping balance thing. It's almost, like, non-existent for
me. Well, one huge difference between the world of the 1982 version and this one is that there's a lot more people. Like, you feel the crowds in the first Blade Runner. In this one, things feel more alone. Not just because they're entering empty offices or anything like that. The first movie had that too.
Yeah.
This one has, I think that they're implying a lot with the blackout period and stuff like that, that a lot of people went away. A lot of human beings went away, died off, and whole legacies of generations of families and shit died off from famine and war or whatever. And I think they're implying that they need, you know, to run things that we don't really need, but run things from farming to working a whole building and flying ships or whatever, is that they need more replicants than they needed them before.
Okay.
But I'm making that up. I mean, I'm not 100%.
Right, exactly.
It just makes the most sense.
That's just my little... That's literally the problem, because it's such a theoretical rich world that it can be, right? But like I said, we're focused on a story specifically.
Yeah.
Cool that we're focused on the story, and I like the fact that we get a lot of that stuff.
I mean, we do get some scenes of them in the bazaar, right? It's like a marketplace,
like,
going
but
on.
But I just don't feel like this. Like, that's where the bigger picture of the whole, like, if they can procreate, we're fucked as humanity, right? Like,
yeah.
I almost don't feel that big pressure, and maybe just because through Ryan Gosling's or through Kay's character, he just doesn't care, because he's just like, Oh.
Well, the genius of the first movie, if there is something to be had about that, is that you use the first real serious sci-fi science fiction movie, especially pop culturally known or relevant, that introduces the idea that you can care and sympathize about something that isn't a human being. And this movie takes the natural next step of that. I think it does it in a really good way, which I think we should talk back more to Denis Villeneuve's direction, that I wasn't 100% he could pull it off, but if there was one director that could, I think it would have been him, and I think it's a good choice to choose him, especially after this, the success of Arrival and weird tonal like mysteries like Enemy. You remember that movie? Like, he can pull this off, and I think he, like, 95% pulled off, or 90% at worst. And, you know, whatever 10% that is, it's not going to be perfect, and it's not going to satisfy everyone, and the whole idea is to bring up more questions about a potential future we could all be facing in some generation or another.
Right.
And I think this movie does a good job of doing that really well. And I think the we may not have gotten all through all the questions, and we might have, wasted a lot of time talking about the plots of this movie. Sorry, it's been like 52 minutes of recording so far on this review alone. But I'm going to post all of it. I don't care. And I think it's interesting that we're trying to talk through a hypothetical that feels not very hypothetical and necessary and yet very daunting and not cool. Because it does, I think no matter what the answer is, it kind of means the fall of man.
Yeah, that's sad. Yeah.
Right. Which inherently as a species, we don't want that.
True.
A panda can choose not to have sex, but they probably don't really want no more pandas out there. So we don't want that either. So I don't know. And it's like the whole idea, like I feel like this movie, as hopeless as it looks, as dreary and gray as it looks, it's giving me hope that a machine can have a soul. And it's kind of cool. Kind of like that. It does the same thing that Her does, except this movie does it harsher.
So does it help that it did it with the AI first? That two machines loved each other, or two artificial intelligences?
I don't think Joy loved them.
Well,
right.
He loved, right?
Right.
And then that
was the point. He was capable of making that mistake.
Exactly. And then we.
Joy never made.
And then we, theoretically, us.
Yeah.
Love him or.
Yeah, we sympathize with him.
Sympathize with him.
Yeah, it's almost like, two air is human, two air is also replicant.
Yeah.
You know, that's what this movie is doing, I think. That's why I think that's the most fascinating angle.
I do agree with you there.
It just speaks so much. I know that that's not the main angle of this movie, and a lot of people are not focusing on that, but I choose to do that.
Yeah.
And clearly you
do
too.
But I do think that is actually the more interesting one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like that final sequence, though, with the water rising as the fighting's going. Really like that.
Like in the ocean, it was raining. It was weird, right?
Yeah, they say something about the world that no one's really painting a picture on.
Yeah.
About how LA is fucked here, and they need this water control thing going on. I don't know what's going on. It seems like they went through an escape through LA phase.
Yeah, it was a weird
escape to escape to. Yeah. Don't watch that one. Escape. Watch Escape to New York. From New York. What the fuck? Not two. So anyway, anything else you want to say on Blade Runner?
Cosmodrome.
I mean, we spent a lot of time on it. I'm sure we can think of more. And I wish we had more thoughts that we can be more pithier on.
Yeah, I can't.
But we didn't really choose the pithier angle. No. We chose the let's think it through in the moment and say it then angle. So hopefully that's an enjoyment enough for you guys. That's it for our review of Blade Runner 2049. We're going to take a quick break when we come back. I promise you a mercilessly shorter review of The Foreigner starring Jackie Chan.
We're going to take a longer than a quick break. Go ahead.
Well, to them, it'll be quicker.
Yeah, I know.
God, bro. Future me, man. All right, stay with us.
Everyone's already inside. Bye, Dad.
An explosion rocks the city today.
20,000 pounds for the names of the bombs. That's not how we do things here.
Hello?
Mr. Hennessy, he's here again.
That's 5 days in a row now. What does he want?
His daughter was killed in the bombing.
Mr. Hennessy, please find out the names of the bombers.
I work for the government, not terrorists.
You used to work for them.
I don't know who the bombers are.
I don't believe in you.
It's him.
You would tell me the names of the bombers.
They kill me on Tuesday.
He's trained.
Bury me on Wednesday.
Maybe special forces.
Mouth for me Thursday.
Stop! She's wired to blow!
And you gotta let me go.
He just wants you to know he can get to you.
What is going on?
He thinks I know who blew up his daughter.
Do you?
And you gotta let me go.
A humble businessman with a buried past seeks justice when his daughter is killed in an act of terrorism. A cat-and-mouse conflict ensues with a government official whose past may hold clues to the killer's identities.
Ooh.
This is Collateral Damage. I mean, The Foreigner.
There's tons of movies that do this, by the way.
Directed by Martin Campbell.
Yeah, the guy who directed Casino Royale.
Written by a couple people, David Marconi. And, it's just a screenplay by him. And then Stephen Leather, or Stefan, because it's PH, so I don't know.
Is it with an A? Stefan?
Stefan? No, Ian.
Ian? No, Stephen.
Stephen?
Yeah. Huh. Pretty sure.
No, but it's PH.
They still pronounce it Stephen.
The?
Yeah.
Oh, would it be Stefan?
No.
Not Stefan, Stefan.
No. Steven.
Pretty sure I'm right. He's the one who wrote the book, The Chinaman.
It's like Jeff, but spelled with a G-E-O-F-F. You still pronounce that Jeff.
That's G-off.
No, but it's... I know, but it's not, though.
But it is.
The Spanish dictionary, yes, when they fucking pronounce words, it's always
this
as written.
This is starring Jackie Chan and produced by him. Katie Leung. Rufus Jones.
Rufus.
Mark Tandy.
That's a name.
Rufus. Yeah. Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah, for sure.
Michael, yes. No, it's...
Nancy, no.
No, McCalkleton.
Okay, wait on. Don't hurt yourself.
Fuck you.
It's okay, you don't have to mention them all. I mean...
No, I'm just trying to get the people that I recognize.
Okay, I was just going with
and
the first
one. That's about it. Everybody else is done.
Okay.
I mentioned Pierce Brosnan. Right? Okay, cool.
How can you not? Remington Steele.
That's what you remember him by?
I was mentioned that one. Everyone does. You mean James Bond? Yeah. So I say that as a joke.
You went last. I should finish.
Yeah, why not?
First impressions.
Sure.
This is a technically action thriller. Which should I pick it to?
Yeah. For sure.
I liked it. It was fun. It
kind of feels like Hunted.
It was a... Yeah, I haven't seen the movie in a while.
Yeah.
The only thing I remember about that movie was him wearing those shoes in the woods or whatever that he, like they were, like, hunting shoes or whatever.
I just remember the last fight scenes.
No, I just remember hunting shoes that he, like, didn't leave tracks or something, or very minimal tracks, so it was really hard to track him or something.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
Anyways.
It's been a while.
Yep. I remember random shit, though. But this movie was a fun ride to watch.
I'm glad it was.
The beginning didn't happen what happened in the trailers,
mm-hmm.
which was his daughter dying.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been a really weird movie because I don't know where the fuck else you started in this movie. So I'm trying to be realistic.
Yeah, the movie I think has a
Other thing you could have shown is that he's happy living his life, which they did in the movie already with his daughter.
Yeah.
I like overall how the movie kind of like brings in little by little more of his past, and then eventually you just get everything out in the open. And it's a fucked up past. What's it called? And then you get a lot of his like background. And by then we didn't really need it to have it, but we got it anyway.
Right.
Because we already know what he's capable of. And at this rate, by the time he gets it, we're just like, oh, awesome.
I think we should be very on this one. For the spoiler, just because it's so paint by numbers a little bit and the way it's going to work, I think we should just tell overall thoughts like you just did, a little bit of the acting, whatever, and just go right into spoilers so we can just quickly.
Yeah, Pierce Brosnan, I'm not used to him in that...
Accent.
Other than that, I mean, his facial expressions are still there, guys.
Okay, that kind of bothers me a little bit. Why? It's like almost like a fuck you to Irish people.
Is it?
Because they're choosing a Brit.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Pierce Brosnan is from...
Maybe he's half.
The IRA is not SRA.
Let's find out. Right. You're not wrong.
I know. So...
Anyways.
I just think it's funny that I'm pretty sure Pierce Brosnan is a Brit. Like, legit, true blue.
He's Ireland. He's Irish.
He's Irish?
He was born in Ireland.
He was born in Ireland?
Mm-hmm.
What? That accent looked more forced.
It did feel forced, yeah.
Right? Yep. Or are we so not used to it that much that we feel it's forced?
He's Irish, and young age he went to England. So that's why he has the
British
he's
a traitor,
accent.
Really. I guess I have to buy that.
As
I guess I have to buy that.
Yep.
I guess I'll eat my words. I'll eat my hat.
Right. Who did you want for this? Liam Neeson?
Oh, man.
That would have been interesting.
That would have been more than interesting.
Because I think everybody would have just expected Liam Neeson to do something, like, radical against him.
Right. Like, it would have been, you know, Neeson v. Chan.
Right. That's the problem. They probably didn't choose him.
Right. Maybe they wanted the sympathies only on Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
And he was a producer. By the way, he makes his own hero.
looking up there, like, really old.
Oh, well, yeah. Maybe. Those years of breaking bones and shit don't age well, man.
No, they don't.
He looks his age.
But he looks his age for sure.
So he doesn't look much older. Yeah. And when he was young as fuck and doing things, he looked younger than he should have been sometimes because he was in his 40s still making shit.
Yeah, I know.
And he looked young. Kind of like the Tom Cruise effect. Like, that guy's 50-something. He's making action movies and shit. So.
By the way, I saw The Firm again. Good movie. Anyways, continue.
Interesting.
I see that movie once a year, I think.
Really?
It's been 3 years in a row.
What a strange movie. Yeah. It's a good one. It's a, I like that movie. I like Sidney Pollack. This movie. I think Jackie Chan doing. It's funny because it's one of the things. One of the worst things about the new generation of the new wave of movies, what we consider to be what is an action movie, what do we like in entertainment, is that it has gotten more serious or at least more dramatic.
Yes.
And more like worldly expounding. Mm-hmm. That it kind of doesn't fit his own schlock, his own like wit, his own goofiness of his movies. Yes, martial arts awesomeness. Yes, he does his own stunts, amazing shit. No one can pull it off like him, like the way he did. But like, I feel that there's no more room for his movies in the world anymore. And so it seemed like a pretty good time to start like waving off and doing, instead of 5 movies a year, start doing one every couple years and then to nothing.
Right.
It made sense.
Yeah.
He was phased out.
Mm-hmm.
His style, the Leslie Nielsen days are off. The Mel Brooks days are off.
Well, yeah, I just feel like the more lightheartedness.
Right. The movies were very wholesome. As much as there were so much action and fighting, none of them were like really it was all death or it was all very wholesome.
No,
like
it was fun to watch. Actually, if anything, it was the opposite. It was him trying to avoid to kill.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And then
there were scenes where he's pulling the weapons away from people.
Exactly. Yeah. Not only to kill, but also how to solve the issue so everybody comes out fine.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. So I think just days are over. So I'm glad that he finally found a project. That I guess it goes back to this movie now, that he was able to do a movie like Liam Neeson does, but Taken and shit, do one for the team, for the today's generation now.
But still with his touch.
Because
of the fact that he never really hurts anybody. He never kills anybody.
But it's still least of his touch.
Yes.
But still his touch. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. It's like a subdued version of Jackie Chan, but it's still Jackie Chan, more than not. And so I'm glad it worked out because I really was worried that it wouldn't.
Right.
I was really worried because it just requires a little bit more acting. And I won't say that he always pulls off the pained stoicism of this man who has a very colorful, violent career or history and is seeking revenge in a world where he's just fed up with it and he's just going to do it himself. Like in that setting, he doesn't always pull off that behavior, but he pulls it off enough for me to say he did a good job.
Yeah.
What about Pierce Brosnan for you? What did you think of him and his performance?
Is it the accent?
His arc? Besides the accent.
Yeah, besides the accent.
Yeah.
I honestly thought it worked out because he was this cocky, what's it called?
Mayor or governor? They call him governor, right?
Do they call him the governor? No, he was just like a public official.
That's what they are.
No. But what I'm saying is like, but he was like a weird liaison or something.
Let's call him mayor. Like a placed in mayor.
Something like that.
Like the way America used, United States used,
America.
I know, it's like a whole continent. It's like the United States when they used Noriega, right? When they put him, installed him as president, and the country was called Nicaragua, I think. Don't quote me on that. They did it because they could control him. They gave him the power so he can do whatever they wanted. Kind of like the same. The Brits put this guy there in charge to quell tensions down from IRA-type stuff, give them information, give each other information.
No, if I'm correct, I think Ireland picked him.
Maybe. It just seemed like he had a lot of help from the Brits to get there.
I don't know. It was weird. Yeah. Regardless. Yeah.
A lot of political intrigue. More political intrigue in this movie than I thought there would be.
Than I really thought. Yes. Because there's a couple times where
there's Yeah, there's a time when I was like, where's Jackie Chan?
Right, exactly. Yes.
One time only, though. But
right, that was the same thing. I had it one time. I was like, I didn't say what you said. I said, isn't this movie called The Foreigner? Where the fuck is Jackie Chan? That's how I went. That's my plot.
Or maybe you find out he's really from England.
Oh, fuck.
The other guys from England. I don't know.
He's not a foreigner in England, though, because he's a citizen. So, in Ireland, I guess?
No, he's a foreigner in Ireland, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Okay, that's cool. Yeah, that's what it is. So, I thought Pierce Brosnan's character was cool. I mean, I even think he unravels at the end. He does a pretty good job. I didn't think anything crazy. I just thought there was a one point it felt like he should have changed, but he didn't. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. I didn't have too big of an issue.
Yeah.
I didn't hate his performance.
All right, two more things to talk about before we get to spoilers. One is I really like the pacing of this movie. I like how at the beginning, especially the bookends, they have this streamlined idea to it. Like, they just get to the point, and it's next time. It's go on. Nothing gets bogged down. Like, in the middle, there is some bogging down, which we'll get to, and we kind of alluded to with the political stuff.
Yeah, it's almost like we get it because we want answered questions. So when our protagonist gets them, we don't have to get explanations there. We just get them already.
It's almost like pre-exposition.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. Maybe that's a good way to think about it. I didn't think of it that way. And the other thing is that, what did you think of the fighting, the actual action in this movie? Not just fighting.
I thought it was cool because I specifically liked it, and I loved how the beginning was when he gets in his first altercation, where he...
At the house.
At the house, right. Yeah. Because it just shows easily that he's not young, obviously. He's
rusty.
He's rusty as hell, and he takes so much damage that he needs to know that he needs to play a different game with these people. But he is well-trained and everything. It's a good fight scene, though. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I think he pulls off, like, rusty good. Like, he pulls off, like, oh, shit, I have to go learn it as I go feeling, even though clearly he's practiced this and everything. I think he plays that really well. That's just a long career, lifelong career of him learning that shit. So,
sure.
It's fucking easy for him. It's cake. And I like how it evolves, though, too. Like, he becomes much more proficient to the point where he becomes kind of an untouchable character.
Yeah, it's almost like he just needed to, like, shake off the rust.
Which can be interesting. It can be a flaw in a movie like that. You can't make someone untouchable because then where's the risk and that real conflict of him, you know, being in peril or dying. But they do this thing at the third act, which I think they do a good job on. So I think that's it for pre-spoilers. Let's get into spoilers for The Foreigner, starting right now.
Sit. I'm wearing a bomb. Anyone comes in, I touch the button, and we die. Now, give me the names.
They claim to the IRA, but I don't know who they really are. I'm doing everything I can to find out who's responsible.
You're lying! Who killed my daughter?
I'm sorry. I truly don't know yet.
Okay, political intrigue. What kind of answer do you think would have satisfied him? Just to know who blew up the thing, or did he really care about behind the man?
I think he cared that everybody involved needed to get justice. Okay. It didn't matter who, and that's why the only reason he goes back to him, like, he gets the names. But it wasn't them working on their own.
The culmination of the whole political stuff, the whole reason we kept talking to the liaison in Britain with him, you know, those conversations on the phone, the whole thing with his cousin and then the wife and then the whole cheating thing, but based on the history, you know, he had my brother, he didn't seek justice for my brother's killer, things like that, which he hated him for, apparently, for this whole time. All this stuff, I think it really... The stamp of approval of that plot is that Jackie Chan is it releases the photo of one of the killers and him kissing in that restaurant.
Right.
Exactly. Which I thought he was going to use for the wife. Interesting how that didn't turn out that way.
Right, yeah.
I really thought it was going to be. He saved it, I think, because I think at the time I was thinking maybe he knows that already or he didn't get a chance to yet because I think he found out the answers pretty soon after that. I don't
know. Yeah, I forgot what.
But yeah, that's what he uses it for. And that's so the combination of all that political intrigue leads to him releasing that photo to the public, which means he's fucked. Like prison or murder, right?
Yeah.
That's the understanding?
Yeah. What I really like about that scene also at the very end is just that you just saw Pierce Brosnan earlier in that scene, earlier in a different scene, should I say, get bullied or get completely controlled by the British government.
Right, that's right.
Right, and it's a man broken completely, right? He has no power anymore.
Right.
And now here, it just shows even more that he has no power. He doesn't even have power against the guy in front of him, like who I guess was pointing a gun at him, right? But telling him, but he has no power. He never had power to begin with him anyway.
Yeah.
Right. And it just showed a man who was like, I've been a puppet my whole life, almost like, or at least I'm a puppet for my rest of my life or whatever.
Yeah, it's almost like here's a man. Well, the movie doesn't really highlight this too much, but I guess I found that. Regardless, here's a man who is always who's played too much straight down the middle. Like he never was one thing or the other. He was never. He had IRA leanings. That he was grand planning stuff, but he was doing he was pussyfooting around that. Let's face it.
Yeah.
And likewise, he was pussyfooting around the job that he agreed upon with the Brits. And so, I think all that kind of led him to have the worst of both worlds and have them both betray him and hate him or. Probably kill him the next scene, the next day or whatever. He's going to be on the run or something. Something bad is going to happen. So, yeah, I think it's overall good. It's a little too much political stuff in that regard for me personally. And I think that thing I said about him leaning towards the middle, I think it's barely there. Not enough subtext or text for me to...
I just love that he couldn't argue that he never knew that she was a bomber. And because it doesn't matter. And, like, you saw him, he was about to argue it.
Yeah.
And he was just like, it doesn't even matter.
No, the acting was good. That was a good scene.
Yeah, it's a good scene.
And I really liked the first scene they actually meet. I mean, that's the first scene, because they meet in the office, the doy. After that, I guess, when they meet in his country home or whatever, this is after a few skirmishes, and he had taken the gun from his drawer, that whole scene.
Yeah.
And that scene I liked because in that scene, Pierce Brosnan's character still had a power that the fact that he's the one who would give him the answers, so he can't kill him.
Yes.
He can mess with him all he wants. He can blow up his men. He can fuck his wife, for all he knows. He can blow up his house. But he can't really hurt him because he's the guy who he wants to get the answers from. So that was an interesting scene because Jackie Chan, can I kill him?
Yeah.
You know, and not that he wanted to, not that he did to anyone, we said, right? Except for at the end of the movie.
Yes.
Yeah. I liked how he saved his vengeance for that. I think when you alluded to his history, Jackie Chan's history in the movie, we should say, what was his name in the movie?
It was a long name.
Okay, my bad.
Something. No,
but they shortened it, though.
No.
No, they didn't?
No. I'm pretty sure they didn't.
Oh, okay.
I'll pull it up right now for us.
Okay, just curious. Because I remember hearing it a lot. I think I should know it. So, first of all, I like what was the last thing I said? I don't want to skip around too much.
He saves his vengeance.
No, the history stuff. So I don't like this background. I don't like how they went into the whole he was in Vietnam and the special forces version of China, whatever the things he was.
They call him Quan, but Quan Yung Min. But they call him by a full name a lot of the times.
Quan, that's easy.
Yeah.
That's like Peter Jackson over there. You know, it's like a common name. I'm
pretty sure that's not.
But yeah. I'm pretty sure it is. Quan. I didn't think we needed all that. I think the more mystery about him is fine. Like, I think the only thing in history we should have seen is that the whole pirate thing.
Yes.
That makes sense to me.
Now I agree. I don't mind if they went.
Because he has nobody.
I don't mind if they went and he's like, oh, he's got special forces training, blah, blah, blah. I wouldn't mind if they just talked about it or mentioned it.
Yeah.
But they go into, like you were also, quick thing about, like.
There's a flashback scene.
Yeah, there's but there's a quick thing also about, like, where the U.S. trained them, and I was like, the U.S. got to be somewhere in this movie, right? Sorry.
Right?
Yeah.
We got to be in every fucking pie out there, all our fingers. Yeah. I just don't think we need it. I think it killed a lot of misses. The scenes we don't need because of those scenes are there. Like that whole thing with him gets the top secret reports that he's reading through the blackouts or whatever. I mean, yeah, I guess I know what they're trying to do. Trying to show how badass he is. But we don't... We just need to see how much he's taking these guys down to know that, or right. I don't think we needed that. So that kind of that was not very good, I think. But otherwise, the paint my numbers nature of the revenge tale is solid. I think they added a lot of steps to it. It's not like most movies when the guy kills, like when you know, and where Charlie Bronson's wife and murder and daughter gets raped and murdered. He knows who it is. He knows the gang who did it. He knows the Russian leader or whatever the fuck. And or if he doesn't know, he knows like two scenes later, not like 70 scenes later. This movie has a lot of steps to him finally getting the names and shit, yeah, getting the person down.
You definitely feel that Jackie Chan's pressure is adding on to Pierce Brosnan. Even though at first it feels like it's non-existent, right, in the diplomatic way that he's going by.
Right.
And then until he finally starts harassing him enough where he's just like, you're either going to give me the names because I'm going to force you, or I'm going to make you give me the names because... you want me to stop?
Right.
Which one is it? Like, so, and it's like, that's I don't know. For me, it worked well.
Tracks, bro. That tracks. Yeah. What'd you think of the scene when he actually unleashes himself, so to speak, by meaning like committing mortal sin by killing people. So when he gets to the den, the really fascinating angle for me was that the cops were there and they were about to do their ambush. Or their raid, right? They call it raid. That added another angle to something that I really liked. Didn't really like the mechanics of how he got out of there, but that's fine.
Yeah, that was a little...
I feel weird. Like, you could just walk out. They have the whole place. What are you doing? I don't get that at all. Just because you're a Chinaman doesn't mean anything.
Right.
So whatever. But what do you think of that scene? Because that's the scene where he also makes the second most mistakes. Because of the first scene, he's rusty. This time, he's not rusty anymore. But he still has to kill these people.
Right. Right.
He's pledged. So, what do you think of the whole scene?
I think once he found out who it was, he didn't mind killing everybody else. He was after the main guy, though. The guy with the hand thing. Because that's the one that
he's... You think he's really just after the trigger man?
No, I think in the end, he wanted it. He was just going to kill any... All of them were part of it.
Yeah.
But that was his main objective, is definitely for him. How he got in, that was bonkers. Like, this guy just walks in, no issue. And sadly, that shot is ruined for me because it's in the trailer. He hides atop of the refrigerator.
Oh, does he? Oh, maybe I did. I knew. So here's the thing. I never saw a trailer for the movie.
So I did. And
it's not part of it.
He's on top, and then he jumps down on the guy. He's in the bottom. And it's like... Like, that's smart because I always have that problem in movies where, like, everyone shoots, like, ah, and then the guy's just ducked and he lives and he just does a quick roll and shoots and kills him.
Right. Right. This one's that happens a lot.
He goes up because no one would think to go up.
Who would?
Exactly.
Who fucking do that except for him?
Exactly.
Right. I like that scene a lot. I'm glad I didn't know about it before.
And he leaves the girl. Did he think the girl was dead?
It seemed like he didn't care. We just saw her fall.
Yeah, I think either he didn't... That's why I said, like, I think he was shooting at the people who were shooting back at him, which he didn't have the problem with. His main objective was to kill the trigger man first.
I guess
so. He didn't mind killing the rest, obviously. But I think he left her alive to make sure he punishes the guy, though. To punish Pierce Brosnan.
Well, that's interesting because he already had the evidence he needed to really punish him.
Dead, right?
Right. So that wouldn't matter.
That's the only weird
thing. That doesn't matter. That's how the Brits found out about his involvement, but that's not how the world finds out. Because Jackie Chan releases
that. Right, exactly. So,
Kwan, I mean. And that scene was kind of ominous, very ominous about government also, because they torture her on the spot, get the answers they want on the spot. Mm-hmm. They have a guy, clearly, that's always there with them to torture these people and shit. Well, in the event that they survive. That's insane. That's some fast pace. I mean, maybe that's what the political intrigue is about, to show this backwards nature of these betrayals that are going to keep happening, right? Maybe that's what it's doing. Maybe there is a more of a message here that we're getting. Not that I don't think we need it, because the movie's called The Foreigner, not The Foreigner's subplot. Whatever. I like the ending, too, as we alluded to the beginning, how it just jumps right away to the terrorist attack and stuff. The ending, it goes right back to work. I like how
I really like how he's planning ahead of time. He's like, if I don't make it back, I have all my things set in place. I gave the business to this person.
Right.
Yeah. Make it back or not, because he could go to jail easily.
Right.
Like, he's committing murder.
Right. Well, the good graces of a cop is deciding not to do that.
Right, exactly. Right. That's the Which, did you see it coming?
Man, I kind of wanted him arrested.
Yeah, but would
no,
he...
I don't want... No, I don't really want him
arrested. Sure. But how do you prove he was there?
Didn't they have cameras?
No, he. They
oh, that's right. They only
have
one.
There was only an X-ray camera.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
I thought there was something.
I think there
they could if they wanted to.
I guess
Mawson could say something.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah, but the ending when he like makes up, goes back to the place that's working again and makes up to the girl. I mean, not like that, but maybe like that. They kiss, right?
It was weird. It was like almost like a cheek lip kiss.
Yeah.
It was like right here, like a weird both. Yeah,
weird ending. Weird.
And it was almost like it was almost like huh?
And the movie ends up
right exactly. It was almost like he he should have seen it that there was still somebody in his life, even if it was just her friend. But her friend was somebody that he still should have been, you know, fighting for, not just, you know, going off to kamikaze mission or whatever.
Yeah. I really like the, you know, they hunkered down in the forest too. And when they were in Ireland at the country home, I didn't think they would stay there as long as it was, because he's out in the forest and he's planting traps and all this stuff. I'm like, oh, wow, they're really doing a whole First Blood thing where he's going to be in the forest a lot of the movie. And he was. I mean, he was there doing the political intrigue stuff with Pierce Brosnan on his end. He was always out there planning and taking down guys and whatever, you know, sneaking around this whole time. And it's funny how much of the movie spends with him being out there in the forest, like whittling Pierce Brosnan's, you know, will down to tell him the story, to tell him the names.
Yeah, really.
That's basically what's going on there. And I really liked how his cousin, who is another forces ex-guy, whatever, you know, their fighting is pretty cool because they're both obviously at the top of their game. He's younger, but he's more experienced, or at least more driven. And I like how that wins out. That was really cool. I like that a lot. And that was a cool fight scene.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. Anything else on this movie?
No.
I mean, we like
it. There's some cool fight scenes. I just like how a lot of the stuff that happens...
You wish there were more fight scenes?
Because
we're used to a lot from his movies,
yes,
right?
Yes and no. I did want more fight scenes, but at the same time, I felt like everything he did was like, I'm poking. I'm making sure I'm fine. And that's like... And it actually played out to where like, it felt believable. He still gets injured. He still gets all that crazy stuff. So, I didn't mind it.
Very cool. So that's The Foreigner. Mm-hmm. It's on theaters this weekend right now. So that's it for our show. You have been listening to another movie podcast. Never forget. Never surrender. That you can find feedback. Send it to us on podmoviecast@gmail.com and otherpodcast.com is our website. You can find all these shows, past shows, marathons, bonus episodes, top tens, like that.
Okay.
All is on there. The show's coming out barely the weekend we said we would. So next time on the weekend of October 27th, so it'll come out 27th, 28th, or 29th because of our crappy schedule these days. On that weekend, we will be reviewing three new films, of course. One is George Clooney's latest directorial film, Suburbicon, starring Matt Damon and co-written by the Coen brothers.
Mm-hmm.
All interesting names going on there. And then we'll be reviewing an indie film that I heard really good things about, starring... what is her name? Anyway, the movie's called Ingrid Goes West. And I know very little about this movie. And that's coming out that weekend on VOD to rent or buy. Mm-hmm.
It's the perspective of the cat from Philo Goes West, right?
That's right. That's right. 5-0 goes west. Ingrid. Yes, that's right. I don't know. There was an Ingrid there. No, it's not about that at all. And then we'll end our review that week with The Bad Batch, which is a Netflix movie. Not a Netflix. Correction. It's on Netflix for you to watch.
Yes. It's not a Netflix version.
No, it's not. But it's an American movie about a post-apocalypse. It's a horror movie of sorts made by... a lady from
People.
Middle East who did a really good for directorial debut two or three years ago that I really liked. Girl Walks Home Alone at Night or something.
Oh, okay.
That's a really good movie. I liked that. It was very tone cool. This movie looks very different, but also comes from a good director. We're going to find out. Also, it's October, so we're going to do some horror movies here, at least one here.
Right.
And that's what we're going to be reviewing next time. Until then, Oh, wait, no. We should give our Twitters. We never did that. Mm-hmm. Where can people find you, Ralph?
And I'll
give
at Gamer Ralph. That's with two R's and an F.
Cool. You can find me and Armin Filmmaker on Twitter, as well as Letterboxd. That's Filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N. Now I will say goodbye. It's very late. We're very tired. I have a lot of editing to do. Till then, my little cinephiles, I'm Oscar.
And Ralph.
Laters.
Look, everything in this world is running exactly on schedule. Besides, to leave, we probably have to wait until the movie's over or something.
Well, when is that going to happen?